All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 23rd, 2014. And today we're going to start off, I want to read Proverbs chapter 8. Every week, at least we've been doing this for the last couple of weeks, we've been reading some Bible, or particularly a few verses or a chapter out of the Bible that should be helpful to us. After all, our work here is really to bring justice back into a system that has become really wicked. It's become an unjust system, an unjust court. And justice, being synonymous with virtue, requires God himself in our courts. We have to be focused in on a sense of honor, sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. Back in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon was made king, he was very concerned. He was very young, and he went to the Lord, and he told the Lord, I'm just a kid, I don't know nothing. How am I going to discern good against evil, and how can I judge the people? And God marveled at the fact that he had asked him for wisdom, and that that was his concern. And he not only gave him wisdom, he was the wisest man that ever lived, save Jesus Christ, of course, and also was said to be the richest man that ever lived. God blessed him with riches beyond compare. He wrote the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 8 he talks about wisdom. So I'm going to read that chapter, and then we'll go off into some of the things we need to talk about today. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. There were no depths. When there was no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily in my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. And I think here, you know, looking at these verses, and the reason I read this tonight is because I truly believe that we, his servants, need an understanding of heart and the ability to discern between good and evil. And, you know, from time to time, we have problems here in with National Liberty Alliance with some people, and we really, you know, it's tough sometimes to figure out how to deal with some people and what to do. So we do have some problems this week, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and maybe what we might or might not do about it. First of all, let me first start off with a couple of people who have been, disgruntled about some of the things we're doing and how we're doing something or whatever. And I know I've spoken to some of these things people privately prior to them making a dramatic leave of National Liberty Alliance. But they didn't, you know, they did tell me certain concerns. We did talk about it, and I thought things were well, but then they decided, well, they're going to go a different route. We did have, and leave us. And that's fine. People can come, they can go, they could do whatever they please. We also had that one individual not long ago, started to write a lot of emails through our system and was complaining about the fact that we were doing things wrong and we didn't have standing. I know last week we responded with some of the words we've used in the past and the words we used in the in the next true bill that we're writing. And clearly we have standing. Clearly every sentence we write really focuses in on the fact that we are the people. We're not slaves. We're not their property. We are people, and we have unalienable or unalienable rights. But we recently had one of the big problems with this last person that left us was their concern about the way we were electing grand juries, or electing the grand jury process, shall I say, because we're not electing grand juries. And the process that we are really electing is a desire to go forward to create an administrative process in every county across the state. And from the beginning, we were doing this county by county, and then we started to do a few counties at a time. And I know here in New York, I think we've done as many as 8 at one time, or 10, you know, quite a few counties at one shot. I think 8 was the maximum, but I don't remember. But in any event, as time went on, we realized that there's not much time. And we put this process together trying to be honorable, also trying to let the people know in the counties where people live, in every state and every county, what we're doing. And the only way we have access to the general public is the newspapers. So we posted a news release in the newspapers. It was the honorable thing to do, to invite the people to come out to consider the fact whether they would like to see a common law grand jury return or not. And we put together 3 short videos for a total of about 28 or 29 minutes long. But it introduced them to the law, the problem, and you know what liberty is, and what the common law grand jury was, and it was enough information for them to make a decision on whether they liked what they saw or not. And generally, it's been unanimous across the nation. We've had some people, of course, that have said, "Nah, we don't like that," and that's fine. They have a right to do that. I know in New York, it was rare. I think we only had one county that we had a dissenter in. We had another person who was confused and just didn't vote, you know. But other than that, we're unanimous. Now, you know, as Jefferson said, we have government not by the majority, but by the majority to participate. And so it doesn't matter how many people come out to this election. It doesn't even matter if just one comes out. Of course, it's a problem for trying to do the witness thing because we want a minimum of three witnesses because that's biblical, two or three witnesses. So if we can't do three, we can't do two. But look, we can do only what we can do. We can make phone calls, we can send out emails, we can put things in a newspaper, and people will show up or they don't. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pursue justice. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't pursue a proper process back in our courts and to get rid of all the criminals. I mean, the only other option is to throw up our hands and let the criminals continue and let them just continue to destroy America, and we have no chance of survival. But anyway, some states have done this from a central location and had done one election, but they did put it in all the newspapers, and they've gave the people the opportunity to come, and they tried to get as many people as they could to come, and then they elected the process. But remember, all we're doing, first of all, there is no rule or requirement to do what we're doing. We could just step up and just do it. We don't need to take a vote about it. We're concerned people. We want to do it. We come together. Let's go do it. And so we could have done it that way, but we chose to be honorable. We chose to invite the public. We chose to do it openly. And we're not creating grand juries per se. What we're doing is creating the administrative process. And on behalf of all the county, and remember, look at the process is the same in every state. The boundaries of the jurisdiction of the state law or the state constitution is the state boundary. The court system of that state, the boundary, is the state boundary. Same thing with the grand jury. Ultimately, the boundary is the state. Now, obviously, it's too far for people to have to try to find justice to travel all the way on the other side of the state in order to get justice. And so eventually, in the beginning, that was a problem, by the way. I was just reading that. I'm trying to remember where I was reading that. It might have been, I don't remember where I was reading it, but I was just reading about that. But the problem, so what we did eventually at some point is we got a court in every county. And in every county, there is somebody who administers to the juries, the grand jury and the trial jury. And it turns out to be the government, of course. They've turned everything into a corporation. They run under equity and not under law. And they have been given constitutional authority to run under equity, but they have not been given that authority to run under equity in criminal law, nor have they been given the authority to run under equity in any way they want if the person wants common law. Anything over $20, I think, I forget which of the amendments in the Bill of Rights says that, but it's you have a right to call for a common law process if you have a contract dispute or any kind of dispute if it's over $20. And every criminal case must be under common law. That's in the Constitution. And they've defrauded us when they tried to move that out. They've succeeded in moving that out, by the way. But they have defrauded us. But that doesn't make it right because they created some law, which is no law at all. They've created some act. The act is as if it never happened because it's corrupt. It's repugnant to the Constitution, therefore it's null and void. The United States Supreme Court has ruled over many times, Marbury versus Madison, 1802, I believe it was, had ruled that already. So any act that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void, and it's as if it has never been passed. It is no law at all, and you can just ignore it. You don't have to obey it. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled that many, many times. So all those things that they're doing to bring us into their system to come under an equity system, which is really a chancery system where the judge is goodness, king, judge, prosecutor, and executioner. He's everything. The judge rules, whatever he says goes. That's a chancery court, and that's what we're going to, and that's a fraud. All right. Anyway, I forget where I was when I led into this, but we were talking about basically people who were leaving and concerned about where we're doing things. So we're doing things honorably. We're notifying the public, But we do have to step it up. We do have to speed it up. That doesn't mean we're not going to continue to look for people, because we have to continue to look for people that's going to fill these voids. We need four people in every single county across this nation in order to work, become the administrators for the jury, the grand jury, and also the investigative body for the common law grand jury. And I think I mentioned this last week or over the past few weeks, that if you live in one county and you want to work in another county because it's more convenient for you as an administrator, that's fine, no problem. Let's say there's five people that are going for the job, and one person is kind of squeezed out and can't get in, but there's an opening in the county next door. They can go over there, no big deal, as long as you're in the state. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, you can really go to any state. It's only a job. You're working on behalf of the grand jury, and we are not the grand jury. But it should be within the state, because there are times when we do act as the grand jury. And that would be, of course, as going in, we're acting as the grand jury. All of those who are coming together are acting as a grand jury in order to deal with the resistance that we've been met with as we're coming into the courts. And we just recently went through a process to bring forth a true bill against a federal judge, which, by the way, we have not filed yet. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we just went through that process. And once we're in power or in the authority of being the investigators for the grand jury and also the administrators, which means we get to spend the first day with them to orient them on what the law is and what liberty is, and share with them the maxims and the principles by which we operate and that they need to operate by, and then they take their oath. And maybe in a few minutes I'll remember, let me write a note on that. I think it's time to reread that oath so people understand what that oath is. That oath is the thing that protects us, because if anybody comes into the grand jury and causes problems, and all you have to do is look at the oath to see that they've caused the problem, and the rest of the jurists can vote them out of the process and get rid of them. So anybody that's a problem can be dealt with, and rightly so. These people that we were talking about that were not pleased with what we were doing and said that, we only had a few people that showed up when we did Rhode Island particularly, and there wasn't enough, and so on and so forth. It is true that only a couple of people showed up for Rhode Island, but there were people from out of state that came also. There were plenty of witnesses. And even if they only had two Rhode Island signatures for the declaration, all they have to do is wait for another person to come in to sign for that declaration of the desire of having that having a common law grand jury in that county and in that state. Again, we are doing states a lot quicker that way because desperate times calls for desperate measures, and there is no rule or requirement of us doing it the way we're doing it. Again, we're doing it because it's honorable. We're putting the word out in the newspapers. We're inviting the people in, and we will continue to do that. And eventually, once we get in and we start to become the administrators and we start to get enough people doing the process and taking care of business, we probably are never going to have enough people on our website to fill the roles of the jury, and we don't want to just choose people that are on our website anyway. We want to choose people from the general public, and that would be we can use the voting roles. We can use, even though it's used unconstitutionally a lot, we can use a driver's license lists. Driver's licenses are unconstitutional when it's required, of course, for people who are not driving commercial, but for commercial it is required. We can use any list we want, really. We can use the phone book, if they even have that anymore. Well, I know they do because I just got one not long ago. But anyway, we can use the list of the general public, and that's the key. It's a pool. We pull everyone in. And nobody is required to serve. We call them in. We call them to jury duty, and they come in or they don't. And then we bring together the necessary number of people in order to sit on a grand jury or a trial jury or whatever the case may be. But again, we're going to teach them very clearly about jury nullification and the true history of the jury, what they're really up against, the principles that they need to operate by, and the important maxims that they need to consider as they go forward in making their decisions as a grand jurist or a trial jurist. Okay, anyway, that's that for that. But again, we do have people from time to time, they get disgruntled and they leave for whatever reason, I don't know. And then they have to make a big splash. It was suggested that maybe we shut down the email because we had a couple of people recently, making a lot of havoc. But I thought about that, and I don't think that we should do that. A little bit of havoc might be good for all of us, get us all thinking and talking and looking at things. And if people, are that simple-minded and leave because of something that someone said, instead of looking at the contents of who and what we are and what we're doing, and just a couple of words by some disgruntled individual drives them in a different direction, well, then maybe they should just leave. I don't know. If people can do whatever they want. So people want to leave, they can leave, and that's okay. People want to say something, I think let them say something. There does get a point when if they keep going on and on and on, we have to tell them, hey, enough is enough because it's time to move on. But we can let them vent. Okay, now a serious problem. And we've had some serious problems here in National Liberty Alliance over time. And we've had to ask a few people to leave. We do know, we're pretty sure, that some of them were just provocateurs. Some of them maybe just had certain other problems, and they were just too disruptive and created constant upset with the people they were around. Now, I don't make that decision for people to leave. I trust in the people of that state to make that decision and push that forward. If I see that there's a provocateur, I'll bring that to the people in that state's attention, and they'll need to deal with that and make that decision. But ultimately, when it gets that destructive, if the state doesn't make the decision in that case, I know we will have to do something because we can't allow them to come in to destroy what we're doing. So we had a situation, and I really, on the one hand, I don't like to say things that are not nice about people and then give a name especially, but we don't have a choice tonight. This person's been on radio, they've been on TV, they're in the newspapers, and they're doing some very serious damaging things. And we need to make this point. This person has called other people up in other states and has convinced them to go do things or consider things. He's met with people in other states, and we're going to identify that in a minute, and try to get things going. This person has caused problems for the state that they're in Florida, and that person's name, and again, I believe I have to give it, is Joaquin. Okay, and if Joaquin's on tonight, he's welcome to discuss this with us. Joaquin is doing some very serious things. He's written some papers that I don't really recognize. To some degree, he's used a lot of our stuff, but he's kind of combined things and made some kind of a strange paper. And he's filed it with the federal court. He went to Sheridan County, Nebraska. He tried to get the people in Nebraska. I spoke with the state coordinator out in Nebraska, and they did entertain him and talk with him, but they decided not to get involved with him, and so they didn't participate. But he came from one state in Florida, flew in with another guy whose name I won't mention. He was reporting from the news side of things, and flew into Sheridan County, Nebraska. Created a seal, Sheridan County. It looks just like our shield, our seal. It's got Sheridan County, Nebraska, Common Law Grand Jury. And in the center, natural law by the grace of God, that's in Latin, 1215, dead center of the seal. So it looks just like us. So what he's doing is identifying with us, and we have to separate ourselves from this, and I'm going to explain what he's doing in a minute. And so if you get a call from this guy, I strongly suggest to not entertain him, and if you decide to entertain him, that's you can do whatever you want. People can do whatever they please, but don't use our seal that we put together for the purpose of trying to bring justice back into the nation, Don't identify yourselves with us, and please, disconnect yourself from us, and then go start and do whatever it is you want to do. People are free to do that. But don't go out and do these crazy things, and then they're going to be pointed at us, and it's going to be accounted to us, whatever this is that he's done. But anyway, what he's done is he drew some papers for a couple whose name I won't mention in Nebraska. They were executing some USC stuff, UCC stuff, I mean, some commercial stuff, and they were going after judges, and they were doing things with filing liens and things of that nature, and they got tangled up in a criminal case against them, and they're going to court. Now, they were following the instructions of someone else. I'll mention his name. His name is Randy Dew, and he's in prison, and he teaches people these things, but he's in prison for quite some time now. And so they were following his process. This guy wrote the papers, and he demanded of this, and his conclusion is wherefore. He even did a wherefore conclusion in a paperwork that was very strange, but the thing that was disturbing was the fact that the top of his paperwork looked just like ours. He's using common law grand jury. He's using a seal that looks just like ours. And he came into a state, like I said, from a different state, into a county, claiming he had 25 people or 100 people, and he didn't have the people in the state that were with us, thank God. But he's using the names of people, and I don't know where he got these people from, but he claims to have as many as 100 people. In some of his paperwork, he says he calls it 25 people did this decision, but then yet he's got 100 people, I heard him say in the radio program. And also he lists a bunch of names of people. And so in this paperwork, he's demanding penalties and fines of $133,800,000. And he's threatening the leaning. If they don't give him this money soon, he's going to lien and pull their bonds. And this is pretty disturbing. He's doing this under the UCC. Now, the question that I have is, what's he looking to do with this money? What's he putting in his pocket? Is he dividing it? What's he doing with this money? And by what authority does he have come in as a grand jury to demand money, make a ruling, and a wherefore clause as a plaintiff, but demand as a king? I mean, this whole thing is really, really very odd and strange. But he goes on. He doesn't end there. He goes on to say that they are to spend life imprisonment, but he's going to reduce that to 10 years, 10 years, let me see, I wrote a note on this. Oh, 10 years of community service requiring 4 hours a day for 10 years. And then he's got a whole bunch of other stuff, which I don't even want to get into the details. The point is this is not what we're doing. The grand jury doesn't sue anybody. The grand jury doesn't use UCC. The grand jury doesn't go out and put liens. It doesn't do any of those things. The only thing the grand jury does is decide on whether they think there's enough evidence that someone may be guilty and to send them into the trial jury to make the decisions of what needs to be done. That's the only thing the grand jury is to do. Nothing more. The other problem is that he's also signing papers as the foreman, as the administrator to the process. Although he calls himself the administrator, he signed the papers at the bottom. Anyway, this is very, very strange things, and it's something we cannot afford to have come back on us. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a disclaimer on whatever it is that this guy is doing wherever he goes. We're going to put it up in Nebraska. Well, he lives in Florida. I know he's done some things down there, and I think he's still doing it. I'll find out in a minute. We're going to unmute Hagen, and he knows some information about this guy, see if he wants to share that. But he's doing some stuff in Florida, and if he is, we want to put a disclaimer there. And we'll probably put a disclaimer on our news area. We do not want to be affiliated with this individual in any way, shape, or form. I can assure you, I'm convinced of this. Is in my mind, in my heart, I really believe this man's going to be arrested. And I believe he's going to be arrested very soon. And we don't need this coming back at us and the news to attack us, what we're doing and being tied up with this. You know how these crazy people in government, these progressives, they love to find something really strange and weird and then tie people into that. Is it like being a sovereign citizen? You know, that sovereign citizen stuff, you know, was back in 2010 when this father and son team killed a cop and over a highway infraction. And and they ended up killing these two guys, but they called themselves sovereign citizens. So they, you know, the progressives ran with this, and they and everybody is a sovereign citizen is the word, you know, of anybody that's looking to bring the Constitution back, and they call us sovereign citizens, and therefore tying us into cop killers. And and of course, that's a very dangerous thing. And the cops are being trained this. You know, they get this kind of information in the news. There's a news, what do you call it? Sort of a newspaper, some kind of like a magazine that goes to these all these police forces, and they talk about these sovereign citizens and what they might act like, what they look like, you know, the things they might say, their concerns, their challenging authority, and to proceed with precaution. And so on and so forth, and that becomes a danger now, because someone could get hurt. But anyway, that's what's going on, and we have to be careful. Anybody that hears from this guy, Joaquin, I strongly suggest to have nothing to do with him. And again, if you do decide to entertain this guy, please, you know, resign from our site, separate you from yourself from us, and do not use the things we're teaching as far as our paperwork and seal, because we don't want to be identified with that kind of stuff. Before I move, I just want to read the oath and talk about that in a minute, but let me see if I can find... Gerard, are you on the panel? And I'm looking for... see if I can find Hagen's phone number so I can unmute him. Hagen, are you in? Hagen, put yourself, if you are not already in, put yourself in the queue. I'll look for you in the queue. It'll be a lot easier than going through all of these other phone numbers in the main list. So, Hagen, hit star 6, put yourself into the queue. You'll see, it'll tell you to put hit 1 to get into the queue, and I'll be able to find you. Okay, I think I just saw you come up. Yep, if I can get down to you. Where did you go to? Yeah, I'm having trouble getting to you. I'm trying. Okay, I think I got you. Try to talk, Hagen.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you. Do you want to add anything or warn anybody of anything with this guy, Joaquin? And again, you know, we're not talking bad about this guy or anything, but he has done some things that is endangering what we're trying to do, things that they will try to, you know, point their finger at us, because especially if they arrest this guy, then they're going to point their finger and say, oh, we're coming out after all of them, you know, there's a fearmonger and stuff. So we don't have a choice but to do this. We have asked, I've called him, and he doesn't return my calls. I have talked with him in the past. I asked him to stop doing this stuff, that it was not appropriate. We didn't have the authority and the right and so on and so forth. And Hagen, do you want to comment on any of this?
Well, I'm not familiar with what he's doing out there right now, other than
right.
Just hearsay. But what he was doing here, I didn't agree with. And I worked with him. I pleaded with him. I did everything I could to get him to slow down and you know, do things that were prudent, you know, to think things through and so forth, and do them according to what the efforts of all of us were doing. Because the way he jumps out there and does things spontaneous like that will destroy everything, all the hard work that all of us are doing. Now, he is a lot very likable guy, very charismatic. You know, I think his heart's in the right place, but sometimes he just does some irresponsible things, in my opinion. And so that's obviously what he's doing now. But, you know, for him to go into another state and, you know, using the name of the common law grand jury, that makes us look bad. I don't appreciate it, and I've expressed that to him. And, you know, but here again, like I said, you know, I do think he's a good guy. I just wish he would be more prudent about what he does, and especially when you're implicating other people, because that's exactly what's happening. it's implicating every one of us who believe in rule of law according to the Constitution. And, if he gets back on board with that, and stops all this nonsensical stuff, I would think that he would be a great asset to us. But the way he's doing things, I believe, like you, he's going to wind up in jail. And those who are going with him doing that will probably wind up there as well. And I think it's very prudent of you to remove him and to put the ads out there. That is not us. That's not what we're doing.
All right. Thank you, Hagen. And just hit star six to mute yourself. If you want to pipe in, you should be able to just hit star six again and unmute yourself. One other thing that he did do, I meant to mention, is that he also demanded of the courts to release immediately this guy Randy Du into his custody, into the custody of the common law grand jury, and to do it immediately. And I do know, I've heard some other things since, which I'm not going to report on because they were hearsay, and so I think it's going to get even worse. There's no doubt that the feds are going to be involved in this, and, because he's a federal prisoner. And this case down there is a federal case. It's in a federal courthouse, and they're watching this very closely, and now they're dealing with this guy and coming in his name. So again, we're going to separate ourselves as much as possible from what he's doing and make sure that, we do whatever we can. All right, with that, let me just quickly go through the oaths. Gerard, do you have anything you want to bring up before we open up the mics?
No, I think you covered pretty much all of it,
right.
As far as, what we're doing, with the difference between what we're doing and what he's chosen to do. And I just want to stress, that we're not starting juries. We're putting administrators in. And so we're not operating like that. I mean, how can you start a jury when you're not under the auspices of any court? Because that's our whole battle right there, is to get accepted into a court. So even some people that are with us, I think they forget, and they mistakenly believe that we are instituting grand juries. Now, yes, we did work as a group across the state, and now probably across the nation, when we get stopped, when the law gets broke, when we're trying to put our paperwork in, and then we go ahead and put a presentment in on a public official, and we do that by virtue of the fact that we represent, the people in our county and each county, and we're doing it, by counties, and we're putting the states up there. And in a certain sense, that is a grand jury. But, that's the first part. What we're doing is we're reporting those crimes to the court, to those officials who have a legal responsibility to rectify that. That's a big difference than what anybody else is doing, So I just want to make that clear that we're proceeding honorably, and we're proceeding according to the law. And everything we do is according to the law. And that's one of the reasons we're still here. And listen, if they want to meet us in court, that's where we want to get them. They don't want to talk to us in court because our message is so clear and so pristine, they don't have answers for us. So, that we'll fight anybody in an open court under common law, and we will prevail. So that's all I wanted to clear up here as far as, what our strategies are. Okay, John, I'll let you go. Okay.
A grand jury cannot be a seated grand jury for months and years. A grand jury is brought together for about a week. Maybe there are situations where they need to be there for 2 weeks or more, but generally speaking, a week or two. And that's it. Their job is done, and they may be called some years down the road again. But they're pulled out of a pool, out of all the people within the county. And of course, you want to pull the jury pool out of the county where the crime was committed, or the alleged crime. It's very possible. I mean, probably not the case, but it's possible, you know, that this guy damages somebody, and we get into power, you know, the people that is getting into power by bringing the authority back to the people. It is possible that someone could come and make a claim against Joaquin and the people that are with him claiming an injury, and we would have to hear that, and we could very much possibly agree and send him in before to a trial court on this. And, you know, a grand jury can be indicted. There was a case where one grand jury indicted another grand jury because they were wrongdoing. It's a very simple thing, really. Just consider what they're doing. Is what they're doing wrong or right? I mean, a common law word is a wrongdoing. And if they're doing a wrongdoing, they got to stop, whatever that might be. And even a grand jury can be out of control, led by some tyrant, and people could believe, and they can go forward and hurt people. That's a possibility. And again, it's happened already in the past. Let me just real quick, since we brought up the oath, I was thinking about this today, or the last couple of days anyway. And we don't take an oath to obey and uphold the Constitution, although we might do that because in the beginning the judges are going to insist on that. We might do that for a while, but yeah, and it doesn't matter. Of course, you know, if we're in a capacity where we may violate someone's unalienable rights, we don't want to do that, so the oath would protect them from that. But that's not the necessary one. The necessary one is the one we brought in, and everyone will have to take, because this is the one that we can use as a gauge or ruler against somebody that's out of control amongst us. And let me read it. I vow, and it's a vow. We called it a vow. I don't know whether we'll continue to call it a vow or an oath, but I vow to the governor of the universe, in my capacity as jurist and or administrator, to ensure that all public servants uphold the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Prohibition, which is the Bill of Rights, and to carry out all my deliberation under natural law, principled under justice, honor, and mercy, and to strictly adhere to the following two legal maxims. Maxim number one, every right when withheld must have a remedy, and every injury its proper redress. And two, in the absence of a victim, there can be no crime, corpus delicti, and the state cannot be that victim. So those are two maxims, and those are three principles, and I think if we're all guided by that, it doesn't take much to figure out that anyone's breaking those principles or those maxims. If we use that as a gauge against each other, we'll know we're all doing the right thing. And so it is kind of simple. This is not anything that you have to be a rocket scientist to be able to know or appreciate whether someone is just going off the deep end or something. Anyway, with that, let's take some questions. Anybody has any questions or comments, they can get into the queue. Just hit *6. We'll take our first person in the queue. 201 Jersey. Is that you, Jason?
John, New Jersey here. Thank you very much.
Hang on one second. I hit the wrong button. Hang on. If I lose you, you'll have to get back in. I'm sorry. But go ahead. Finish off.
I just want to thank you for doing a great job. I just want just a notice. You still have the last notice for the Freedom, the Liberty program on the connection for National Liberty Alliance. This has to be changed.
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
Oh, your last event on Saturday. It's still coming on.
Oh, where is it?
When you type in National Liberty Alliance, it just makes you aware there's an event up in that's going on that's already passed.
Oh, maybe we put it on the welcome page. Is that what we did? It's on the welcome page. I see it. Okay, yeah, I'll get that off. Go right ahead then.
Now again, I'm still perplexed by the problem of the Sedeki and where it's at. I know that it's very important because the heart of all our abuse of from our uncivil disservice is coming out of that, and it's very important that we be able to find the money trail. And, like, you know, what government forms are they using to fill out, and what policies and procedures they're using to violate us and to put them in their Nisi Prius courts. and to rape us.
I'm not sure I understand. Is that a question? I'm not sure.
That's a question. I just want to be able to, again, it's very important that we, I can find information about it, but again, we don't have the, we need the paper trail. Again, if we are going to be, a challenge here is that we're hoping to be online with our National Liberty Alliance in the in our county courts in a short time. But in the event that we can't get where we need to be knowing where to get that money out from our civil servants and the courts, and start starving them from taking that out. I just want to be able to...
Yeah, I'm not too sure exactly, but you might be talking about the illegal monies that they're collecting, I presume you're talking about, and when they fine people and do things like that.
Right.
Yeah, and that... Okay, we're going to need someone on forensic in an economic sense, you know, like a bookkeeper. We do have some people we've already talked to that are capable of that in an international level, as a matter of fact. So, you know, people like that is who we would hire in order to go in there and just discover those kind of things when that time comes. And we don't have to worry about that right now, but the time will come and it'll be dealt with. The court system we're in, there are two courts. There's an equity court and a common law court. If you read the Constitution, it talks about the two courts in Article 3. And they don't have the authority to operate under any other court. I was talking with Gerard about this week, if he wants to pipe in to talk about some of the things he was reading in a book he was looking in. And it talks about these people, as under a chancery court that was in our country before we became a nation, okay? And so the chancery courts were already here, and it was the courts that England, of course, were bringing in. Our founding fathers were working under common law, and England had common law. There was a big battle, but we were more freer in the common law here in America than they were in England because of the sea, the separation of the sea, I believe, is probably the case. But nevertheless, they kept trying to bring these chancery courts in, and the people just wouldn't have it. But they did creep in, and they were involved, and they were making decisions, and they've kind of always been here. And then they got hidden in in the Constitution. When we put the Constitution together and we initiated it in 1789, there were people, there were still courts taking place in many places that were chancery courts. And they hid themselves eventually. They kind of cloaked themselves inside the equity side of the court. And the way they really got the total control was in the early 1900s, and there was always that battle, of course, going into courts back and forth, I'm sure. But in the early 1900s, when the Bar Association was able to establish themselves and they became incorporated here in the United States, I'm not sure whether it's Philadelphia or New York. I think it was New York, though. And they became established here. And they took control eventually, as time went on, of the schools. And they were able to then teach the lawyers going through the law system through the schools. They really worked the situation as time went on to everybody had to be a bar lawyer at some point in time. And I don't know the timing of when that actually took place, but obviously it has taken place sometime since the very early 1900s and now. And so every lawyer goes to a bar school. They're taught by the bar. The bar is a communist organization. And they are training people that these lawyers that statutes are law, and that the common law has been done away with, and these people are true believers. After all, they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through law school. Of course, what they're being taught is got to be true. And so when we come up with the true law, the real law, it's unrecognizable to them because they've never heard it before. They've never heard these Supreme Court rulings we bring up. It's like coming from planet Pluto to these guys. They didn't teach them about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. They've never even looked at it. They were taught statutes. They were taught everything necessary for the process of really creating a prison planet, ultimately, by, it's invisible bars. We're controlled by police officers swarming the streets and giving us tickets and, and all these crazy things, and being arrested and going to jail for things that are not breaking the law. It's just breaking their statutes. So this is where the problem has come from, and it's an uphill battle when you go into a court. But they do know on the top end, they do understand, particularly on the federal level, they understand clearly between the two. And so this is where we're at right now. We're on that level, and we're going to see how much they really do understand with our next step, which, by the way, I meant to bring up before we went in, is we did do that indictment last week, and the paper's done. We did read it last week, as a matter of fact. There was two words in there. Someone had mentioned this when I was up at the Freedom Fest, that someone was reading this and liked everything, but there were two words that upset them. But, you know, I said, well, it is what it is. You know, it's the truth. I mean, even though they've taken these words and really kind of made them mainstream on the one hand, but when we use it, it's like, wow, you can't say that. And that is the word Nazis and what was the other one? Marxist, I think. I think it was Nazis and Marxists.
Yeah, Marxist. But, Nazis and Marxists, right.
Right. And
well,
so
I don't know why you
I'm
can't
gonna,
use the words. That's,
well, it's not that you can't use it, but, you know, it's inflammatory, you know. And but the thing is I'm going to talk with some people because we haven't sent the paper out yet, and we may just use fascist. And what we wouldn't call them Marxists, and we wouldn't call them Nazis, but what we would be saying is that they were using Marxist/Nazi tactics. And they are. That's exactly what they're using. And so what we may do is maybe tone that over to fascist tactics. But we're going to think about that and maybe replace that word because we haven't sent the paper out yet. And the only reason we haven't sent the paper out yet is because we haven't gotten all the seals. We've got about 7 or 8 seals, I think. I'll have to count through them and see. Matter of fact, I know, Sheila, if you're on tonight, I know you were trying to get a hold of me. I've been busy running. I've been away and... all weekend we were gone. And maybe you can give me a call tomorrow. We can go through the list of seals I have and see if we can't run down the seals from the states we're missing it from. And another important statement I didn't make is that we brought on 2 new states this week, Illinois and Kansas. So we're now up to 18 states. And we know we've got a couple other states coming again real soon, so we should. This is a huge milestone for us because this 18 brings us over one-third the nation. We have over one-third of the states throughout the nation on board with us at this point. And I believe within the next 30 days we're easily going to bypass the 50% mark.
Fantastic. On another point, back in the day, months ago, you said you wanted to have state election forms. We only have 6 states that have submitted that and 20 state constitutions. Just for everyone, please send out those, just a reminder for the state election laws and the state constitutions.
Oh, yeah. There's election laws that we should be putting up on the website and... we do have a few states. I know New York is up there, and also the state constitutions. If people go and look onto our page, it should be. I think those both. Well, the election laws would probably be under political, and the other one would be under the judicial, which we changed the name of judicial, so we're probably under law. I'll have to find out exactly where they're at, but people should go up there and look to see if their state's up there. If it's not up there, maybe you can email me a PDF copy of the Constitution of your state so we can get it up there, and or the election laws for your state so we can get them up there too.
And another point, I came across a great article, and I've posted on all of it. It's the state of the nullification movement of 2004, and I sent it on to everyone on Facebook and to all Liberty groups. And it's a very interesting 21 page document on how a nullification can take our state. Remember, without the states supporting the federal government's mandates, there's no support. It's like from 1920 to 1933, we had the Prohibition Act, and a lot of states weren't even supporting that. It's like also the marijuana laws. New York, California was the first one to use medical marijuana, again, the states are growing, and the more that the states take say no to our federal government, which is actually of the United States, they don't have any authority to do anything. And when Fort Sumter was fired upon by the South, there were actually landlords telling the federal government to get off their land. And that's their right, because without the state saying that they can be there, they have no right to be there. I disappoint. And there's also something happening with a Danny Martin in the state of New York, in Nassau County, who was arrested for disorderly conduct. And the guy wasn't even doing anything, just had postings of impeach Obama over a overpass. And the real thing, they're using status quo things. Oh, someone could be happening if this get someone sees your sign, which is really status quo on authority. So, I mean, please reach out, people in New York State or all around the country. It's very important that we support this man. There's a phone number up on that webpage. It's Danny Martin to be prosecuted for.
But I don't know that we want to get into any kind of activity, just, you know, as being jurists, though.
No. This is us individuals. I mean, the thing is that
it's
the First Amendment right to show our displeasure with our elected officials. And remember,
I agree with you 100%, but what I'm trying to be careful of is that we don't get into kind of political things and you know, stick up for people when we really have to be unbiased and really have to look at things very carefully and from a different perspective than what we might look at in our everyday life one way. And we make decisions and support different movements and people, and I do that too. So, I mean, I support different things. But as grand jurists or as administrators for the jury, which were the investigative body, potentially speaking, for the grand jury, we have to be careful that we don't get politically active.
Right.
You know, from our position, from our
right.
being in what we're doing.
And as individuals, we can do what we need
as
to.
As individuals, we should be doing things,
right.
And I know I do, and everyone should be doing it. But I want to be careful not to share those things here.
Right, whatever.
We just want to stay. We want to stay as pure as possible. But go ahead.
Okay, I stand corrected, and I do it as individuals, not as National Liberty Alliance, and do what you need to see is be done. But there is a video on him over about 5 minutes of him having a conversation. As I end my call, we got 888 counties, fantastic, 18 states. We're doing fantastic. And just think, if we would have, things would have been better 3 months ago if we didn't have this individuals who were preventing myself and others to go forward with helping other states be reconstituted. And it's a shame that we are 3 months behind because others were trying to defame other people's progressive actions for our group. And I like the fact that we're going to have a meeting of the state leaders this week. And I want to reach out to the people doing that. Thank you very much. And we're on going forward. And again, to everyone on this call, God bless you. Keep up the faith and keep up your spirit. For without us thinking that we are better than we're not better than the next guy. We're just more involved than the other guys, and we have to be proactive, not radioactive.
Okay, thank you. And just on a side note, yeah, from our perspective, we may be behind schedule and things could have gone quicker if only this and only that. But ultimately, on God's schedule, we're right on time.
Right. Just going forward, it's very important that everyone
absolutely
gets out there in a hurry, because, again, when the bottom falls, we just want to be able to say that we were here to do what we had to.
Okay.
All right,
let me go to the next caller. Thanks, Jason.
Right.
And by the way, Gerard, you need to push me along so I don't get too long on a caller, because we do have a lot of callers tonight. Thanks. And let's go to the end. And also, we don't want to get into any personal stories. I know some people complained about last week's program where we got too involved in personal cases, and they're right. We shouldn't get involved in personal cases here. And we could talk just very briefly and generically and then move on. But next caller is an anonymous caller. Go right ahead. Hold on a minute. Anonymous, go right ahead. You got the mic. Well, no, wireless caller. 760, you got the mic.
Thank you, Dave in California, state coordinator.
How you doing, Dave?
Good. Okay, I just wanted to, you know, we're on the fast track, and I know there's a procedure, but I just wanted to get your guidance. We've had a proposal, and some people step up that are willing to get together in one location with three or four people and constitute all 58 counties in one sitting, and with advance notification by email to about 150 newspapers covering all 58 counties. Would you give your guidance on that?
Yeah, no, we cannot go with emails at all. Emails cannot be relied on. And to be honest, you know, the problem out in Rhode Island that we had was because they relied on sending emails and they didn't make the phone calls that they should have been making. And so we didn't have the people. You see, if you make the phone call, you can get them to commit or not. You'll know whether they're coming or whether they might come. They're on the fence, you know. But, you know, when you do a follow-up, you say, okay, you're going to come. I'm counting on you. And then you do a follow-up call, you'll get the people there. And I know I got just about everyone that I called to my county and when we did our county here in New York in Dutchess County, which was the first county in the nation to do it. And everyone I called came. And the other thing is we have to send a press release to the local paper in that county. Okay, so if you got 58 counties, you've got 58 newspapers to hit up. It may be that one newspaper may be covering a few counties. Well, okay, fine. But with that, you know, even two newspapers, and if there are, if there's also a statewide newspaper, that's good too. But we still want to get the local county newspapers. That's important to do. So let's get that going and get that done. With a state
okay,
like
what,
California,
what,
with a state
we
like California, hold on, let me just finish the last part of that.
All right.
With a
okay.
state like California, it's an extremely long state, and you can't expect people to get in a car to drive 10 hours, you know, to this thing. So it's just way too far. I suggested to California that they break California up into three parts and work something out, work the logistics so that people can travel. Maybe whatever the mileage is across the state, if you cut it in the middle and then you divide it again and you get two locations centered in those two areas, maybe that's sufficient. Maybe that's not too far for people to travel. But we have to be reasonable, okay? Texas is the same kind of a problem, okay? You get up to Alaska, it's a whole different animal now. It's a whole different animal because you have communities that with extreme, you know, many, many miles of wilderness in between them. And you have counties that you can't even get into. So they have a certain unique kind of a problem. So they're going to have to do something a little special, and they may have to actually participate doing a couple of locations and maybe connecting and doing it at the same time, and maybe even connecting on the internet at the same time, because that's the kind of thing it is up in Alaska. So again, we have to be reasonable and logical, but we also, you know, we have to be to realize that we do have to get this job done. But California, I think, at minimum, breaking up in two sections to do, maybe three.
What we were proposing is to send press releases by email to 150 newspapers.
You can do that as an adjunct, as an additional thing if you want, okay? But no, you have to make sure you got to call. I know this is work. You know, it's going to take the work for some people to do, but you got to call up the newspapers in the counties and find out who handles the press release, and they'll give you an email or a fax for the press release, and then you email that press release to that email that's for that press release, or you fax it, and you make sure that you put a name and a phone number so that they can contact you, and that's it. Now, most newspapers do not. It's very rare that a newspaper shows up, but they do from time to time, and you know, to do a story or something on it. But it's extremely rare. And also, we don't get a lot of response from people in newspapers. That's a fact. That's true. But nevertheless, it's the honorable thing to do, and we do it. We're putting the word out to the best way we can. Now, the other part of that, of course, is making the phone calls. We have to get Liberty groups. Give them a call. I belong to a Liberty group. I belong to quite a few Liberty groups. And you got to call the people of those Liberty groups and get them on the phone and get their ear and say, hey, look, we really need you. Come on out. You know, we're counting on you, and so on and so forth. And call the people on the list that are in the state. The state coordinators has access to all of the people within the state. They have access to their phone numbers and email addresses. Do not rely on emails to invite people anywhere. You must get on the phone. You get three or four or more people, and you divvy up these phone numbers, and you all work the phones, and you also spread the work around on getting in touch with all of these different newspapers. And then you work on the paperwork, too. You know, for one county, it's not a lot of work. Literally, if it takes you an hour to put the paperwork together and make the phone call, let's say 2 hours, make other phone calls, too, just for the one county, that's about it. It's 2 hours work at the most on the phone for one person, and then sending the email or the fax out. And then it's, 35 minutes for the process of reinstating the jury by setting the videos up. And that's it. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. But when you're doing a whole state, it does become multiplied because you have to do a lot of phone calls and a lot of newspapers and a lot of paperwork. So it's going to take a team of people working, at least three, four, five people. One person can do it, but it's a lot of work for one person if they don't mind. Two people make it better. Three is better. Four is better, of course. And, you know, you get it done. Well, go ahead. What do you want to
add? Okay, now, a lot of these newspapers, websites have email addresses for press releases. Are you still suggesting we still need to call them, even if they provide their press release?
No, if they are advertising, this is our press release email address, that's good. Just make sure that you're covering every county that you're going to be doing the election. That's all.
Okay, now what about if they list the email to the editor?
I wouldn't do anything to the editor, just for the press release.
Okay.
Okay, that would be acceptable in that way, yes. I mean,
okay,
I have an email list of over 800 newspapers across the nation and stuff. But I wouldn't trust that to be going directly to the news release, department particularly. You want to make sure you get this to the proper department. That's all you want to do. And if that's what they're saying this is, then that's fine.
Okay, now, assuming we do the press release correctly, assuming we get at least three or more people together in one place, and we're willing to do the work, you're okay if we do all 58 counties?
In California?
Yeah.
I think California needs to divide at least in two sections. You can't expect someone to travel 800 miles.
But I'm just saying, we're going to have four people in one location, and we're all willing to do the 58 counties, the four of us. Is that okay?
No. Because, look, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honorable. We have to actually invite people. We have to make phone calls to people.
We're going to invite them. But
you have to be reasonable on the distance that they have to travel to get to this.
All right.
800 miles is too much for someone to travel. How long? Does anyone know how long? Or do you know how long California is? I mean, it's a huge state. It's got to be 1,500 miles.
All right. Can you put all three locations on one press release if we do three locations?
If you do them simultaneously, that'd be a perfect thing to do, yes.
Okay.
If you do three locations, that makes it reasonable for people to travel, okay, and you do it at the same time and the same day, and you put them into the newspapers, and the people have, and in the newspaper it's saying, depending on where you live or maybe visiting somewhere, these are the three locations we'll be having the voting at, and that's fine. That's perfect. That's a perfect way to do it.
Okay, and let's say nobody shows up at the two of the three locations, but four people show up at the third location and are prepared to do 58 counties. Is that okay?
Well, bear in mind, you're going to have at least one or two people showing up at each one of those locations because someone's got to be there to set up the equipment to put the video on and to take the vote. And you need the witnesses. And so, you know, you're probably going to have at least two people at each location. I would say try to get three at each location.
Okay.
But get two.
Yeah. Okay. Can you have all the paperwork in one location and then have the people in the other two locations voting?
No, you need the paperwork where it's at because the people that show up have the option to sign that paper, and you prefer those people signing it than the people who are setting it up.
Okay.
Although the people that are setting up is people too, and just as them, and they of course can sign it. The affidavits, you know, and you can't swear that it took event over here when you were over there, because you're doing an affidavit swearing that you were there, you saw, and so on and so forth. And anybody who swears in that affidavit, they don't even need to be from that state. They can be from anywhere because it's only an affidavit swearing that they attended a meeting and this is what it was about and this is what would have happened. And a vote was taken, and by the showing of the hands, the will of the people was taken, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. Now, as far as the paper for the declaring of the grand jury, you know, in that county, that declaration, you know, if you can, you try to get the people in that county, but anyone in the state can sign that.
Okay, I think that's it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me take next caller. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can get this going right. Anonymous, you got the mic. Go right ahead. You're coming in as anonymous on the call. You must have heard that you've just been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, could you hear me?
I can hear you.
Thank you, John. Sorry about that, Anonymous. I'm at a friend's house. I didn't realize it automatically does that by just dialing the number. But this is Edward from Connecticut. How you doing?
How you doing, Ed? Good to hear from you.
Good. As you know, I listen every week, but I don't call in every week. You know, I'm always focused in on getting the people motivated and the reasons, you know, to get involved. You know, so many things are wrong, you know, from the simplest to the most complicated thing. You know, upon my research of the Connecticut Marshal situation, because I was looking along that time period, I stumbled upon something that happened to a woman who was in one of those paddy wagons, and she was attacked and raped by some of the other convicts. And the thing is, this is what this is all about. She was in that paddy wagon because of a motor vehicle violation. So all the things you always say about how the present law is just completely out of control, that if it was common law, that woman would never be in that paddy wagon because she cannot be incarcerated for a motor vehicle charge.
Right.
You would just have to make up for what you did, that's all. So it's just reason after.
Right, and nowhere, anywhere do you find these violations being called a crime of any kind even through the legislation. So, I mean, they're really out of control, these people. It's not a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So,
and these, I think, if the people knew more about all these things, they're just too complacent. We should have thousands in each state right now, and then, of course, hundreds of thousands. Because, you know, we could spend just a whole call. I'm not saying we. I mean, all the callers could spend just one night just discussing all of the police brutality that still goes on. It's what they do to just normal people. And I won't get into any more. You know what I'm talking about. It could take, you know, a month of calls to just go over some of this stuff. So these are the kind of things I'm always focusing in on to get people to wake up. And when I mentioned before, to the simplest and most complicated, there was some question. And like I said, even if I get one facet answered each time I call, I'm happy with that. One thing with the parking violations and so forth, and what you said earlier with the Bill of Rights and $20 and things like that. It's come to my attention, you know, people upset about the due process, even and like I said, Don, it's such a simple thing that they don't feel the process is correct as far as that you have the ability to be able to fight it properly. You know, even though they want money, you know, they want their $50 or $100, and sure, no one minds paying that if they're wrong, but the due process, now I'll just quickly say what happens is basically you get a ticket and then you could appeal it. You could just, you know, you mail in your appeal and then they could say, well, okay, denied. Then you get just one hearing. Then you could go to a hearing. Now, if you're denied there, that's it. It's over. So what do you think about that as far as...
No, I don't think a police officer has the authority or the right to stop you in the street for anything unless you are putting yourself and other people in danger somehow. If you're driving erratically, if you're putting people in danger, yes, they should stop you. If you're speeding through a red light and no concern, well, of course they should stop you. Something is wrong and it's serious. You're putting society, you're putting people in danger. But you come to a red light, you stop, you look, and hey, there's nobody there, there's no one crossing the street, there's no cars coming, and you make your turn or you go straight through, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. I do that from time to time, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? But for them to stop you, as long as you're not doing anything that's dangerous to people, they can't stop you for just anything. They can't stop you because they think you're going 5 miles over the speed limit or something. Look, it's ridiculous. If you're in a residential area, obviously you can tell if someone's going through extremely fast and putting children and people in danger. If you're on a highway, it's a whole different story, you know. And I think what they need to do, there's a videotape we have up on our common law page, and you'll see a picture of it. Maybe, Gerard, maybe you can look it up and we can be more detailed on what that is. But it's about taking traffic lights out of an entire town. I think this was done in England or someplace over there in Europe or something. But they took all the lights down. They put covers over the lights in town. Before they did it, they talked with the people in the town, and they were talking about doing this, and they thought they were crazy. They said, oh, no, people are going to die and this, that, and the other thing. And then the day came, and they were performing this experiment for a short period of time. They put the coverings over the lights, and there was no more lights. And they had in the cross areas, especially the dangerous ones, they had all the white lines for crossing with the diagonals on it. And people came to that very cautiously. They stopped, they looked, they went, they took turns, they stopped for pedestrians. It was just unbelievable. And then they started talking to the people about what they thought, how this experiment was going, and they were just blown away by this. People were saying they were able to walk to work from one side of town to another in half the time now. It was a lot quicker. They didn't have to wait for lights. They come to the crosswalk. People driving would see them. They would get across the street, and then they would continue. So everybody was cautious at the intersection. We didn't have chaos or anything. The people driving through towns were making it through the towns in half the time. Everybody was happy. And nobody, so this experiment, I understand, continued for quite a period of time. I want to say a year, but it continued for a long period of time. And they didn't have any fatalities, any accidents, whereas when the lights were there, they had fatalities. They had accidents. And the key reasons they came up with why most of the people, the pedestrian accidents happened because there was a pedestrian coming across the street, and they happened to walk in front of the car at the time when the light changed, and the person in the car was busy looking up at the light and not for people crossing, and they hit the gas, and they hit the people. So, you see, you don't have chaos because you don't have lights. I mean, there are some intersections you have to have a light because it's just that complex, you know?
Right,
or maybe
right,
someplace
exactly.
Like New York City or something where there's, of course, you've got to have them. But most towns and stuff, I know here where I live, I go across the river, and particularly in Ulster County, New Paul's is one place I could think of offhand. They don't have lights in New Paul's anymore. At least down there are a couple of lights, and they're in appropriate places. But in most of the village going through between the lights, they have these crosswalks, and it works great. You know, people are stopping, cars are turning, and people are walking, and it works.
That's a very interesting point. I didn't even know about that. And a matter of fact, just to add to that, right? A matter of fact, if people people rely on lights, and that's what gets them in trouble because they see it green, so they figure they go through, but they don't realize someone else is going to run the light, and then they'll be in trouble. So, a very interesting experiment. Very interesting.
Right. Everybody should go out and watch that video. You know, Gerard, what the name of that video is?
I can't find it.
It's on the Common Law. If you go under essays and lectures and then click on Common Law lectures, it's on that page. There's a couple of videos before the lectures.
Common Law lectures,
I'm just about there, so I might beat you.
So,
and it's called Common. It's under.
Stop the cop. Oh, yeah, Traffic Control, The Road to Nowhere. It's 13 minutes long. It's a very good video.
Okay, I got Road to Nowhere.
It's the second to the last one on that page on the lecture, you know, Common Law Essays and Lectures. You know, the first one's Meet Your Straw Man, and then you got the Stop the Cop one. And then where the guy's in court arresting the DA, and then the traffic light one.
And coming to stopping traffic and stopping people and doing those things, the only right the cops really have is commercial vehicles. You know, pull them over at weight stations, make sure they're under the weight, making sure their books are, they look at their books. Because, you know, I think this is important. People driving across the country, that they're only able to drive so many hours a day, and they got to rest so many hours, and they keep a log. You know, that's important that they are checked on and make sure that they don't put people's lives in danger. And also the weight of their vehicle, too much weight, you know, I guess there'd be a problem stopping. It would break to begin with, but also the wear and tear on the roads and so on. And I'm sure there are other dangers I just haven't even thought about, you know. So that's appropriate for there. But to stop someone at a traffic stop to check their license and registration and their inspection sticker, they don't have the authority. They don't have a right to detain me or anyone else, and they shouldn't be. And you know, we as people will figure certain other problems out as we go on, but we got to stop the insanity. The other thing is we got to get rid of, look at all these police departments are illegal. They're unconstitutional. The only constitutional one is the sheriff. That's it. And the sheriff, every one of these, you know, if you shut down all of the police forces in every town and you shut down the state police and you figure, well, okay, you know, you're going to have to keep some satellite areas open. You know, you have to figure that out. And it should come under the wing of the sheriff. And if they need more police to do whatever work they got to do, then they lay it out. But the bottom line is they got to be under the wing of the sheriff. They can't be under a mayor or a governor or anyone like that, because now you're open to all kinds of potential political...
conflicts of interest.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, now just one thing as far as...
But I'll tell you one other thing. Just one other thing. By stopping these tickets, just by making them illegal, these towns cannot prosecute no more. All those town courts will shut down, so all these DC Prius courts will shut down. Police departments will go out of business because they ain't making the money to support them. That in itself will just get rid of most of them. And if there's a need, then the sheriff department has to grow. That's all.
Right. That, like you're saying, the financial aspect would make them extinct.
You have a police barracks, state police barracks, strategically placed throughout the state. Maybe all of them need to be stayed open. I don't know. Maybe only half of them. Each state's going to have to do a little study on this and figure it out. And if half of them need to stay open, or three quarters of them need to stay open, that's fine. But they need to change the uniform. They need to become deputies. They need to become under the control of the sheriff. Everything has to be turned over to the sheriff in that county.
Understood. Yeah, and just to answer this one question for these people, in reference to, say, parking, and I know this is just so simple, but it's just that, everything has to be answered.
Yeah, someone needs to take a a sawzall with the metal blade in there and just
right.
take all these things down and remove all these boxes, and we can send them over to the mayor or the governor or whatever, just get rid of them. Because how dare they think they're going to charge us for them to make money to park on our streets? And then when they say, well, it's a business district, well, people are in for business and they're out for business. They put as much money in the meter as they need, and sometimes they don't get enough because they make it so they can't get enough, and they got to run over there to get, especially someone that's maybe has a can't walk well or something, and they got to rush over to get the money. Who the heck are these people? You know, people are going to come in and do their business, and they're going to move on, and the next person will come in and take the spot, and life will go on. Because they're charging money doesn't make anybody work any quicker in the business district than not. So that's baloney. That's baloney. You know, I've got quite a few of them that I haven't paid, and I sent my papers in, and I haven't heard back from them, so I don't know.
Now, John, as far as the nuts and bolts of the, let's just say if somebody, like I said, just sticking with a simple parking, say you're in prohibited parking or something, and you're fighting that ticket, what I want to ask you is about the due process that they're using presently. Is that definitely against the Constitution?
Yeah, there is no due process. They use no due process at all. Due process is a trial in a court of law. That's due process.
Right. They're not
giving you a trial. You're already guilty, and they're going to find you guilty. They're just going to give you time to say you're not guilty, then they're going to still find you anyway. They're not going to give you a trial, and they certainly not going to give you common law.
Right, and that's where, see, now you're getting right to the heart of it, John. What is happening is that they want money, whatever it is, $50, $100, even though that doesn't seem like a lot, but that's a lot for some people. That's life and death for some people.
You that's know, right. And not only that, find out what they're doing that money, because we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. So now, if they, it's like you said once before, you know, when they want to come against you, then that gives you the right to respond. Now, if they want money, even $50, doesn't that mean they have to give you 100% due process where it would be,
They can't take it to trial because let's look at it this way. If you read the Constitution, look at Article 1. Article 1 gets into the power of the legislators. And I forget what section it is, but you can read through these sections, and it shows you exactly what power they have and what they can write laws on. It says they have the authority to do this, the authority to do that, and the authority to do this, and to write the laws for these things. Okay, when you look in there, our founding fathers never gave them the authority, nor could they possibly give them the authority anyway, but they never gave them the authority to write codes to control our behavior, okay? We're responsible for our own behavior. And they've convinced us that we're not liable to be able, we're not able to control ourselves. They've convinced us of that. You know, when I talk to people about it, they should do away with this, that, and the other thing. Oh, no, they got to have that. People, it's going to be chaos. Well, not true. Watch that video on the traffic. Not true. People will be courteous to each other because we're in society. I mean, we're not that bad. And we'll get better. The more and more common law we are, the more and more appreciative we'll be of each other's rights. The more and more educated we are, the more we will appreciate each other more, and we'll be even more courteous. But generally speaking, I come from New York City, and New York City people, regardless of what you might hear, are very courteous people. We live on top of each other almost, you know, in apartment buildings and everything. And I'm telling you, the friendliest people are New York City people. You have the most evil people down there, too. You know, you got the bad people everywhere.
Right,
there happens
right.
to be more of them down there than any place else because there are millions of people down there, you know. But generally speaking, people in New York City, very friendly. They give you the shirt off their back. I'm telling you, I come from there, and that's the way it was. And when I go down there and see people, it's still the same way.
No, well, you're right about that, John.
Let's boil this down because this is about traffic stops, which we have the information on the site.
No, it's not. Gerard. No, it's not about traffic. It's just, like I said, to the simplest and most complicated, we want to be able to answer all the questions for people. And this way, you know, when we have the knowledge you know, you get people on board.
I'm going to boil it down for you. The quickest way to get your head, your mindset around this stuff is go watch the Stop the Cop video, because that one there will show you how they don't have, in a very short video, I don't think it's 10 minutes long, and they'll tell you the proper questions to ask the judge when you're in court. And right there, when you start asking him, is this a common law court or equity court? Is this admiralty? Is it that? You know what I mean? And well, I don't want you to violate my Sixth Amendment right, and I don't think that you would violate your oath of office by me exercising my Sixth Amendment right. That video in 10 minutes will do what we could do in an hour talking about it here.
Right.
Now,
but
everybody
should
see that. And
The
other thing is not only don't they have the authority if you know how to hold your jurisdiction, because they suck you in by when you they do stuff like they ask you, do you understand? And that means, do you stand under our jurisdiction? People don't know that, and that video will explain that. And when you plead, that means that you agree to their nisi prius court. You're not objecting to it. But the other thing is if everybody just pled not guilty, and even to go to their administrative court, if everybody did it in one city, in one town, they would close the court down in 30 days, because they got more people than they can process through their crappy system anyway. And that is people nullification right there, even without a jury, because the law says that when they create a law, and you get a certain percentage of noncompliance from the general people, that's the people speaking, saying that that's a bad law. They're supposed to automatically take the law away when the compliance falls below 50%. It proves they cannot enforce it because people aren't obeying it anyway. So if you want to start a project, look, we have all the pure stuff on this site, and we teach you everything, and you can go in by yourself. But you could take a town or a city and get a bunch of people together. Look, they put 200 people a night in a little tiny room, and they run them through like cattle. And the prosecutor's sitting there going, "We'll make you a deal. Listen, if you get out for $100, that's cheap, because $30 of it is the state surcharge. And the town gets the rest of it. So if everybody
I heard the state surcharge went up to something like $80. It's ridiculous now.
Well, I don't know. I was just in a little while ago, and they were still using 30 in the city of Hudson. See, it might be different where you get your ticket and who gives you the ticket. You know what I mean? If it's a town cop or a state trooper or whatever, I don't know what their crazy little schedules are. But for me, it was a $30 state charge, and it was a $70 fine. And it's much easier to pay it than fight it. But you know what? If everybody fought it, they'd be closed down in a month. They couldn't possibly schedule all the tickets that they'd have to adjudicate, even in their administrative court. So that's
what and then ask for a jury trial, and that'll really shut them down.
Yeah, and I mean, look at it. In 30 days, you could go from city to city shutting these courts down,
yeah,
because it proves that they're writing more stuff than they even have the ability to control. But look, John, it's like a 10:45, and we got a whole slew of people in the queue, so we got to move on.
Okay,
yeah, Gerard. No, I appreciate that. The things you said, your input is valuable as far as the things, that very interesting information. Anyway, like I said, I don't get to pick and choose the questions that I ask, and that's why I did preface it by to the simplest to the most complicated. I normally ask questions that are more important, but the thing is, when it comes to our rights being taken away, every single issue is important, because you want to point out where everything is wrong. You don't want to let one thing go, and this way we're hitting on all eight cylinders. But anyway, I'll let you guys go.
Okay, thanks for the call.
God bless.
All right, you too. Next caller, it looks like it is who's the next caller here? 631.
Yes, John. Good evening.
How you doing?
Maude Pollock here.
How you doing?
I don't have a question, but I wanted to share something that I put on the website on your Facebook, and it's a very important information that I think would cheer people up to read, and it's an article that it states the open source revolution is coming and it will conquer the 1%. And it's written by an ex-CIA spy, the man who trained more than 66 countries in open source methods called Reinvention of Intelligence to Reengineering the Earth. So he's written a book, and he feels that the way to go is to open up all information, and that includes truth and honesty and opening up inventions and all technical stuff that they've hidden on us and so forth. But it's a wonderful concept, and I know that there's a movement going on, as you know, probably about the free energy machine, which is open source. And and I just read recently that the Tesla Auto Company has now open sourced their patents, and they're letting anybody make their battery, that whatever. So there seems to be a trend to open source, which would take away the money making capabilities of the cabal. Because well,
absolutely, you're absolutely
free.
Right. And Benjamin Franklin was big on that. You know, his inventions, he just gave them away. And today especially, you know, there are people that claim that they've done certain things with the water, you know, with the running cars on water and different things. But where they make the mistake is they try to sell it, and then they get hurt by it.
Try to patent it, and then it gets
right.
Out.
The best way to do is just release it. Just give it to the people that just do it. You can still have a service helping people do that, because a lot of people are going to need someone to do it for them anyway.
Of course, yeah. Of course. But it's. I posted it on the Facebook. I hope it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written. Let's see. I just had it here. It's an article that was on Ascension had it. Ascension with Mother Earth had this open source article on their blog, and it comes from The Guardian. Someone from The Guardian, his name is Nazef Ahem. He's an Earth Insight writer, and he wrote
about it.
All right,
I'll take a look. Get some time. I'll try to take a look at it, or Gerard will take a look at it, and we'll see once a little bit on that. But, yeah, we are a little bit involved in that. We haven't heard anything lately on that.
Well, it's working.
Generator.
You have to go to
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're looking.
I know
that.
You haven't had time.
Yeah, but we are looking at that. I haven't looked at it in a week or so, but we are looking at it, believe me. So,
right.
Gerard, have you been tapping in on that lately, or have you been tardy?
Oh no! I'm on the QEG machine. I'm on their Skype,
right.
And they got like 1,000. I get 1,000 things hit, and I go through them from time to time. And you know, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, they had the one group there that reached what they call over unity. Now I don't know where they are as far as getting something to run an entire house. You know, they're trying to get 30,000 kilowatts, I guess. You know,
right.
You only need about 10 to run a house, really, unless it's bigger. You know, 30,000 would fit just about everybody for anything. So, and I haven't checked it lately, but you know, there's a lot of noise up there too. You know what I mean? And you got, and there's some misinformation. You have to be careful.
Right.
And what I found on there is I found links to projects that are better than the QEG. There's a couple of machines that are working that are not that machine, but they're a Tesla design, and they've been working. And so, and I forget the name of it. I should give an update on it maybe the next meeting.
A look and see, because once we find something that we feel is going to work, we'll try it out.
One
if
out
we can
there.
Build it, we'll let everyone else know that, hey, it works, you know, as soon as we know.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's really good about that Skype thing is because people get on there and they leave links to other things that are going on, and that's sometimes the best way of finding out. You know, the other
right.
problem is everybody's scared to really let their success be known, because that's when the cabal's going to come out. So
right.
they're
afraid to be, knocked out.
I mean, you can tell that they're afraid, you know. And I mean, there's been some hanky panky where people set up to mass produce these things before they even perfected them, and they go into these third world countries, and unfortunately they have such a hunger for electricity that these governments and these people in control will actually spend money on this stuff before, you know, and they get people to spend money on it before they actually are viable. And it's almost like stealing. So you have to watch that, you know, listen, the charlatans come out, the scamsters, the carpetbaggers.
You just discussed that charlatan scam person.
Yeah, right. So, but
listen,
it's very, very interesting.
I was thinking about that man in North Dakota. Is it where he went? Where did he go? This person that you
Nebraska?
Discussed?
Nebraska?
I think it was.
Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska. But wouldn't it be a good idea to put in a disclaimer and a paper in Nebraska to say you are not associated in any way with this man?
We're going to put it right on the site.
And just leave it there. I don't know that we want
serious.
To do anything
if
out there.
That's serious. We don't want to be connected to that because they don't know what to do with us right now, and so they want to call us terrorists. They want to call us this and that. But the fact of the matter is you know if they face us head to head, nose to nose in an open court, they can't prove any of that. So we just have to be proactive.
Isn't it like when they chemtrail, they have to put it in the paper so people know that, and then by, you know, by default, because nobody says no, it's accepted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, they'll play games.
And just put an ad in some Nebraska paper saying we are not responsible to this person or this is not someone we are associated with. So that you have an official disclaimer, because in the website, you know.
Or you didn't put a movie on.
What? Put a movie on? All right, John. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep,
yeah, I
yep.
just wanted to tell you that the name of his name is Robert David Steele, and the book that he wrote is called "The Open Source." Everything Manifesto, Transparency, Truth, and Trust. And he told the audience at a lecture that the major preconditions for revolution set out in his 1976 graduate thesis are now present in the United States and Britain.
Right.
So that's the name of the book, in case anyone wants to get it from the library. The Open Source Everything Manifesto, Transparency, Truth, and Trust. Isn't that perfect? Isn't that
yep.
what we want?
I agree. Yeah, it would be very helpful. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.
Okay. Thanks
so let's
for
hope, but let's keep on going here with these challenges, right?
Absolutely.
His
yeah.
name's Robert David Steele. Did I get that right? Robert
no,
David?
No, his name is... No, wait a minute. Yes, Robert David Steele.
Okay,
S-T-E-E-L-E. And he's a former CIA, and then they threw him out because he put together a conference on open source, and they didn't like it. It's a very interesting article. It's
okay,
about,
thank you. That's
yeah, you're
good.
Welcome. You're okay. welcome. Okay, have a good
call.
Night.
You
okay.
too. God bless you.
Yeah,
okay,
you
next.
Too, you
thank you. Next caller, 541. Go right ahead. 541, you got the mic.
Oh, yeah, this is Dave in Crook County, Oregon, and I just wanted
doing,
to relay
Dave?
A message that we constituted Oregon just a few hours ago.
Oh, okay, great, great work. Let me tell you, I knew it was coming up, so I'll get an update tonight. So, Oregon was constituted today, today's date. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay,
that's
else?
All I had. I'm doing this for Laura because she had a long drive.
Okay, great.
to get back home.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Work on the seals if you guys haven't done it yet. Get the seals going, the unified seals.
She's got the state seal going already.
And all those states, that haven't sent their seals in, let's get them in because we want to get this paper. And I may be forced to go without seals for certain states, some states, but we got to get this paperwork in. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that information.
Sure.
All right. Okay, next caller is 732.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Hello to everyone else on the call. I don't have a question. I just have a little comment about the situation with the guy that's going around with the seals and doing all kind of crazy stuff.
Right.
I find in life when you're doing something positive and you're on your way to victory, that's when you got to really be prayed up and, you know, stay active and be prayed up. Because
Absolutely, I agree.
You know when it says that he will come at you in one direction but flee in seven different directions. So as long as we do what we're supposed to do and stay on guard, and also the scripture states that with God, nothing's impossible with God. So
right. We
stay on the side of right and keep doing what we're doing, we'll be okay. You know, he gives us the spiritual awareness to be on the lookout for things like this and gives us the insight. So this is something that has to be done. He chose you to be the leader and guide everyone, and I really appreciate that I'm part of this, and hopefully everybody will stay strong, and we do what we have to do, and it's going to happen. It's happening. Look, we just got, who is this just came on? Oregon constituted? That's fantastic.
Yep, Oregon just constituted, so that brings us to 19 states, and I just got that up on the line when you were talking, so we got it marked up as the 19th state on our website right now as we speak. But okay, yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. Absolutely. Look, we are at a time. Last month we got just a little over 10,000 unique visitors. Now. That means that's a pretty big statement, and we do know that about 40% of those people are brand new. Actually, it's got to be more than that because we don't even have that many. That means that we do have a lot of people that are not signed in that are visiting us to begin with often, and it means also that we're getting 40% of that, which is about 400 people every month that are coming in just learning about us. Not 400, what am I saying? That's 4,000 every month that are just learning about us. But it means that we got about 6,000 people that have come in, and that's not how many hits we have on the site. That's how many unique visitors we have on the site. So that's telling us, when you really work this out, we have tens of thousands of people involved watching and participating maybe in one way or another, even if it's just watching us, because we've got a lot of fence sitters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got about 3,000 people that are active and actually signed in, but most of the people have not signed in yet. And you know, I get from time to time, when we see you get something, you know, we're going to come in. Until then, they're doing other things, but they're watching, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be a point in time when we will get a landslide. But with that kind of popularity, yeah, we're going to get a lot of people who are going to try to ride on our coattails, so to speak, in order to seek and grab power, do a power struggle. We're going to get people who are going to cause problems. But you see, as long as we maintain our purity, and that's what I keep trying to push all the time, we can't get out there and get involved in anything. We can as individuals, but don't bring it here. You know, don't use our name to build someone else up. We don't do it on a website or anything. But if we just stay as pure as possible, we stay with our principles, the principles that are biblical, honor, a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We stay with a focus in on the truth, and we just stick with the principles and stay pure, the enemy will be revealed quite easily. Because the enemy will try to take us into a different direction.
Right.
And that's when you know you got a problem. And it could be, you know, they may not be the literal enemy in a sense. They may be just an unguided individual. But in any event, ultimately it's the enemy taking us in a different direction. We're not going to go there. And And we also don't really have leaders. I mean, people may look at myself and Gerard and some others as leaders. Really, we're organizers, we're coordinators, we're teachers. And everyone should become a teacher at some point, of course. If you're sharing what we're doing with other people and telling people a little bit about this, a little bit about common law, and a little bit how the courts work, well, you're a teacher too. And the more time you spend with gaining the knowledge of what we're all learning together, the more your ability to teach and to share what you know with other people. So, and the key thing that we make here all the time, and this is the most important thing, and this is what spoils all of them, if people are coming in because they're really seeking power, they're on an ego trip, there really is no power or authority for them to have as long as we all realize that the true power is the grassroots, which is the people right there on the county level in every county. That's where the power is. And if the four people in each county are, you know, measuring each other up all the time, making sure that, you know, they are and you are acting according to the principles and the two major maxims, then we're all good and we don't have anyone taking any kind of control. And if you have someone trying to take control and be the boss, it's time to ask them to step down and move aside, because that's not what we need. We don't need that.
Right, exactly. We'd be doing the same thing that we're trying to straighten up right now.
Right. We want to stay as much much grassroots as we possibly can. And again, you know, National Liberty Alliance, we're really just a facilitator. We facilitate the organizing of people. We facilitate for the communications of people across the nation. And we facilitate for the education in order to learn how to do whatever it is they got to do here. And that's all we are.
And I find that the way it's going, it's divine. And a lot of times people don't, when something is divine, it takes time and it takes patience and perseverance. You know, some people think, oh, this is going to happen like overnight. A lot of
right.
things too fast is not, something's not quite there yet. You know,
right.
there's a reason why certain things take time. And,
well,
and,
absolutely. You know, sometimes I look at things and I say, oh, it's taken so long. But really, when you look back to see where we started and how we started and where we've come from what point to what point, it's amazing that we've done what we have done in a year. You know, we've accomplished huge things in 1 year. We now today have 19 states totally constituted as of tonight, okay, which means every county is involved in some way or another, and each state is diligently working to fill those positions within those counties, and soon when the landslide comes, we're going to fill them up very quickly, and we're setting up an educational system, and we're going to be, I'll tell you what, we're going to very soon have that 26th state in here. We're only 7 states away from having 50% of the union in the game. That's huge. That is huge.
It is. And to me, I see the spirit of the Most High moving. I mean, his spirit is moving on this situation and is amazing. From the time when I came in, what I seen to now, I'm like, I just praise him. I praise him all the time because I know it's his power that's making this happen.
Well, amen. That's key. That is absolutely key, because look, justice identifies with God. When you read your Bible, you're going to discover God tells you, you can't have justice, you can't have liberty, you can't have any of those things unless I bless you with them.
That's
and when
right.
people realize that it requires the blessings of God to have that, then it requires you to be within his will. And you mean, you know, none of us are sinless. We're all sinners, and we all, you know, do things that we shouldn't do here and there, and so on. But the bottom line is we know who the Lord is, and we do diligence as much as we can, and we give honor and glory to him, and that's the key. You know, that's why we do start off now with Bible verses or some kind of a Bible reading. I try to pull out a story or something that really identifies with what we're doing. Wisdom is important, knowledge and understanding. And, of course, the true wisdom and the true knowledge and the true understanding is the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of the Lord and his salvation. That is true. But, you know, we are people, and we're put here to live with each other and to reflect godliness. And so, again, you have that same opportunity here, you know, that there is a wisdom and there is a knowledge and there is truth in how we go forward, especially in our courts of justice. And so we have to be truthful, and we have to be just, and we have to be honorable, and all the things that are godly, and we have to constantly remind ourselves. And the day we stop talking about these things is the day we start going astray again. You know, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about something in the Bible I've been reading, which I've mentioned. I've been looking at the Kings lately, you know, reading through the 1st and 2nd Kings and Chronicles and so on. And you get all these stories, and you go back way back to the beginning. You have all these problems with all these kings, and believe me, there was a lot of kings, you know, ruling over huge numbers of people. And they were always at war with each other, and all kinds of things going on. And when people went to seek a king, and God said, "You got a king, I'll be your king. You don't need a man king. You don't need a human king. I'm going to be your king." And they denied God of that, and of course they got Saul. But God spoke to Saul and all these other kings through prophets. He warned them. He told them. They disobeyed, and they got punished, and they got destroyed, and they lost battles. When they were obedient, they won every battle they went into. And there was one battle we spoke about last week that God said, "Hey, this isn't your fight. This isn't your war. This is mine. I'll take care of it." And when they went over the mountain, we spoke about this last week, where they went over the mountain, and behold, the entire army was dead. They were all dead, laying down. God turned them against each other, okay, because he could do that. And that's huge. Just imagine what life would have been if they would have respected God and said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. You be king." And he speaks to us through his prophets, and, well, he tells us what to do, and you do it, and you obey him as you obey the king. There wouldn't have been one war lost. Life would have been different in this world today. And everything else, but of course, that's not the way it went. So we have to turn to him and let him be king, and life will be different.
It definitely will, and I had to learn that, you know, just in my own personal life, that you can do but so much, and you just got to let go and let God, and things will start moving in a way that would just blow your mind, and you'd be like, "Wow, why wasn't I doing this a long time ago instead of stressing and trying to do everything and make everything happen, knowing that I didn't make myself, I didn't give myself life, so it's a higher power that you know is directing my path." So you got to let go and let go.
Yeah, it also prevents ulcers, and all the stress goes away. I mean, we all get under stress from time to time. You know, of course, I get under stress. Everybody gets under stress. But, you know, the question is, do you remain under stress? Before the end of the day, do you give it back to God? I mean, for me, I always come to the point, well, hey, you know, as much as I was concerned about something, why am I even bother worrying? Because he's in control of everything, and he's going to take care of business, so I don't have to worry about it. And when you don't have to worry about it, you don't have the stress. So, I mean, there's so much to the blessings that you receive by, you know, just giving it on to him. It's his battle. It's not mine.
Exactly.
I'm just a nobody trying to do the best I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, we're on the right path now, you know. So spiritually, I just see it. I can just see the handwriting on the wall, and it's positive for us. So,
all right. Anything else? Because we do have a lot of other people here.
Oh no, yeah. That was just my comment. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate the call. Good to hear from you again.
Hey, I just want to say patience and perseverance, because in the beginning, you know, we had a lot of people on the text chat. When are you going to get moving? What have you done? You know, and all this just baloney of trying to beat us faster like we weren't getting anything done. And look at how much we did in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a saying that my son brought home from skydiving, and it goes like this: slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. So there you go.
There you go.
Okay. All right. We done?
Yes.
Next caller? Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next caller is 559.
Yeah, John, it's Jerry. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Jerry?
Good. I just wanted to inform some of the people. I know you don't want to get into specifics, but you mentioned the fellow Randy Dew.
Right.
The circumstances surrounding that and the figure that you mentioned as far as the $1.3 million or however many dollars it was.
No, 330, what was it? Hang on a minute. $133,800,000.
Okay.
That's
well,
what the common law grand jury is looking for to against these officials. They went after, I believe it was 48 officers or officials. And that's pretty alarming. And that's not what we're to be doing, but go ahead. By the way, just to make a point, Randy Du, okay, for anybody who knows about him, he teaches a lot of stuff with the UCC, and I presume he's right on board. I know other people who are very, understanding on how that system works, and they seem to be going through that process pretty easily. Apparently, Randy made some kind of a mistake that they got him. I don't know if he knows what it is, but what they're doing to Randy, of course, is evil. The man is not a criminal. He doesn't belong in jail. He was just standing up for his rights and trying to make people obey the law. That's all he was doing. I don't participate with the UCC stuff for numerous reasons. Reason number one, that's because I think what we're doing is the best way to save the nation and to make these people obey, and that is the grand jury. So I put all my time there. But the man definitely does not belong in jail. He is not a criminal. They set him up, and he was doing the right thing. He was trying to make people obey the law. But, you know, Randy Du is someone that we would probably try to get out of jail at some point, but we can't do nothing with him now because we don't have that ability and authority yet. But go ahead. Okay. You wanted to say something about him, though.
Yeah. Well, thanks for what you just said, because it clarifies what the man has done.
Yes.
He's a very patriotic, honest, God-fearing man.
That's what I understand.
What he did was try to help some people that were out in Nebraska who were having trouble with law enforcement and with judges and district attorneys and so forth. And he was blowing them out of the water, and they were committing crimes every time they opened their mouth or every time they presented a piece of paper to the court. And they got to the point where Randy wasn't having any success in the filing of the criminal acts against these people. And it got to the point where they coerced him off of his own land and arrested him on false pretenses.
Correct.
And I think the problem was Randy was at the end of a rope, so to speak, into know how to achieve remedy. And
that's what his problem is. I think he doesn't understand enough about the common law and the remedy part, particularly dealing with the jurisdiction. Although he does understand jurisdiction, but there's some things in his paperwork that had got him into the trouble that they feel that they can just steamroll him now. They've been steamrolling him for a while now.
Well, they have been, and I think one of the mistakes he may have made is that he went to what he calls a consensual commercial lien, where perhaps a common law lien may have been the more appropriate remedy. But the bottom line is that what he did was expose a great deal of corruption, just rampant criminal wrongdoing, and it still exists. And at least now I think there's a lawyer that the guys have retained to help Randy perhaps get out of jail, but the man deserves a lot of respect and credit for what he tried to do anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I no argument there.
Thanks for the time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller. Let's see, it's 303. 303, wireless caller. You got the mic. Wireless caller, you got the mic. Just a few more seconds and we'll have to move on. Did we lose 303? What happened here? Nope, 7. Let me go to the next one. We lost him. Okay, next caller is 702. You got the mic.
Why, good evening, John, everyone on the call. Chris,
how you
in Las Vegas.
How you doing, Chris?
Well, you know, you were speaking about the suggestions of what may be occurring with Randy Du, and mm-hmm. we have something that's not vastly different going on here in Las Vegas for some time, starting back several months ago with David Bruschi and Violet Newstead, the self-proclaimed, and I think government actor, sovereign citizens. In fact, that was my first suspicion of who the likely shooters at the CC's Pizza Shop, the two Metro officers and one Joe Wilcox private citizen at the Walmart associated, which are mere blocks from my home here, would have been. And the apparent creation of a persona to try to associate one of the opposition candidates to the apparent sheriff-elect, to Doug Gillespie, who is Joe Lombardo, by having him don a brand new, shiny, right out of the package campaign shirt for, let's see, his name is, I think, Martinez, Gordon Martinez, I believe is the...
Yeah, where are you going with this, though?
Well, the likely infiltration of any of our groups is high and generally suspected. In fact, it's said that if you're talking to three people, likely one of them is a government agent.
Yeah, I think most of the infiltration that we have had so far is people who, you know, don't have their feet completely on the ground. That's my opinion. Now, there are, of course, people who are making phone calls and doing different things, and we know that they're disruptors, and I'm sure they're just provocateurs. One way or another, they're hired by the so-called people in power there. But, you know, with our situation, they're going to have a real tough time trying to really infiltrate and sway people in a different direction. Because as long as the people are educating themselves to the truth and the process and the principles, once we have that, anyone taking us away from the truth, the process, and the principle, obviously, in one way or another, is the enemy. And so it becomes very simple to see. And one of the main things, you see, they use certain tactics, and their tactics are without principles. And when they're starting to act without principles, you know, you don't see them acting honorable, justly, and even with mercy, you know. And you don't see that. It becomes just obvious. And again, you know, we see them for what they are. So it's going to be a little difficult for them to infiltrate. And the other thing is the fact that we're trying to keep this thing is so much grassroots, which is what it has to be. You know, these people try to infiltrate and create a top or take over the top and take control of everything. There is no top with us, and there will never be a top with us. There is no top-down, marching orders type thing. It's just an educational process that's being given and a place to communicate and organize for the necessities, as a people across the nation. But the truth of the matter is they'll have to take county by county. And they're not going to be able to succeed at that. It's just not going to be possible.
Well,
But a few of them will come in here or there, but it'll be rare, and I think they'll be seen. But go ahead.
My comments apparently are pretty improprietous and not having any merit, so I'll just yield the floor for the next caller. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call. Next caller, 620. You got the mic. 620.
Yeah, let me get all my buttons pushed, and I'll be right with you, John.
Okay.
Hey, this is Johnny B. This is Johnny B.
Doing,
out in
Johnny?
Kansas.
Man, good to
doing
hear from
good.
You. Good.
Yeah. As you know, we got constituted, and I asked Tristan Barker up in Johnson County if he could come alongside as a co-coordinator, so if we could get that information on the website.
Yeah. If you want to give me that info, I'll get it done tonight. What I need is just give me his email address. Do you have his email address? Or is he a county? Is he a county organizer right now?
Yeah, in Johnson County, Kansas.
All right. How do you spell the county? Joshin?
Johnson.
Johnson. J-O-H-N. Or
yes,
Johnson.
Sir.
J-O-H-N-S-O-N. County. Okay. And his name again?
Tristan Barker.
Christian?
With a T. T-R-I-S-T-O-N. Tristan.
Okay. Christian.
I can't get to my contacts.
Okay. I'll find him, and I'll make him a state coordinator. I'll try to do that tonight. Okay?
Appreciate it, sir.
Hey.
And we're putting together state coordinator calls weekly. We got one coming up Thursday.
Yeah, that's really important to do. You definitely got to be doing that. And your state again?
Is Kansas.
Is what? Kansas. Okay. Yeah, look at anybody who's not, any state that's not having state meetings, you know, maybe once a week, just for the purpose of meeting, talking, and organizing, even if it's only a half hour. We have them in New York, and, you know, they go a half hour to an hour or so, you know, and it doesn't take much time. But definitely we need this for organizing and kind of get to know each other and just keeping ourselves active. But the key part of that whole thing is organizing, especially for the elections. And then once the elections are done, then the organizing is for the participating on the state level. You know, we have these postcard things, which we'll be pushing very heavily. We're pushing them now, as a matter of fact. And each state coordinator should be involved in their state trying to get people to send out the postcards. You know, you're organizing to fill all the positions that you now have to go back and fill after you organized and got the counties constituted. You know, we still have counties in New York that don't have any leadership in it yet. We have to develop that leadership, and these are the main reasons and purposes of the state meetings. And once we're totally organized, and we work together, which we won't have much to do in a way of working together to get the nation back on the road, because if we're all working in our counties and our states doing that, Washington, D.C. will just fall in place. But there may be some business we have to do collectively on a national level. And then at some point, maybe we would meet once a month on a statewide thing just to keep in touch and discuss things and mostly to deal with problems within our state. You know, I mean, we're going to have to deal with the governor's office, and you want to do that collectively. You're going to have to deal with your assembly and your Senate and your state, and also the senator and the congressman that you send to Washington. You're going to deal with those people. So there'll be that business that you're going to have to deal with once we're in power and start to bring the grand jury under common law and the juries.
Yeah, absolutely. My long-range goal is to divide the state into quarters and get a minimum of 4 administrators to a quarter, which will be about 25, 30 counties apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to make an announcement to the state coordinators. If you can't attend the meeting, get somebody out of your group or find a buddy that can man it and kind of keep everybody abreast of where we can help out or what you need. And I'll yield the rest. Thanks a lot,
John. Thank you, Johnny. Okay, next caller. Let's see, it's 248. You got the mic, 248.
Hi, John?
Yeah, go ahead. This is David?
This is David from Michigan.
I've
been telling people here in Michigan that those 4 video commercials that I sent to you have authorization to go out anywhere and everywhere, and I've sent them to Virginia, and we've got them out here in Michigan, and so I just I was wondering if you could just kind of make it public that it's a can do, because you gave me the authorization over the phone, but I just kind of wanted to make it public just to make sure that
absolutely.
I'm clear.
Absolutely, and we're going to try to get those 4 commercials up on our page. I want to talk with my technician because they're very short, and instead of trying to do it through YouTube, I'm going to see if we can't just have it stream right off on our page and be set up in a way that they can easily be downloaded by anybody who wants to take that commercial and get it to their local TV stations, particularly, you know, the, what do they call those programs that we...
The PSAs, Public Service Announcements,
The Public Service, channels.
It doesn't cost a thing to do that. And
exactly.
Local people can do that on their stations. Public access is another good venue.
Right. Yeah, that was the one I was really thinking of, the public access. And we know people in that, and we'll get it out to them and see if they can't get it moving through the pipeline, so to speak. We're very pleased with them, and it was nice of you to do. Appreciate it.
Great. great. All right. Well, I won't keep you. I just wanted to make sure that that I was good to go on releasing.
Absolutely.
All this stuff.
Yeah. We haven't gotten it up there yet because we've been super busy the last 3-4 days or so, and you know, I haven't even been around. On Friday it was gone. Saturday it was gone. And Sunday I wasn't available very much. So.
Well, we know you're busy. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks
We're
for the call.
You. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye bye. Okay, next caller. It's a 714 call. Go right ahead.
Okay, here in California, I'm really glad to hear about Kansas, and I'm also the Oregon. That makes 19, like you said. That's. I was looking at Kansas, the state where you pick up the state, and this is the thing. I don't know. Maybe it has been already updated, but it says total counties and total constituted, and it still only has two. As total constituted. So Illinois is complete in regards to that. So I think
okay,
maybe.
Okay, hang on a minute. Now you're saying which state has only got two?
Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Okay, they haven't flipped the buttons up there yet.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I'll go up there and make sure the buttons are flipped. So,
very good.
Go ahead.
And now, regards California and talking with Dave earlier, he was the one thing I didn't hear, and I thought I'd heard you talk about in these meetings that you need to have a notary public also validate the...
if you're going to be doing a state or multiple counties especially, goodness, we had notaries with us when we did just one county at a time. And, you know, we were lucky to have a few notaries amongst us. So, but everything goes a lot smoother. The paperwork is done and completed, and you don't have to chase down paperwork and get confused. So... when it comes to the state paperwork, you know, you're doing that many counties at a time, you definitely want to try to get a notary there so you get all the work done right there, finished.
Well, I admire David and the group that are doing this, the coordinators. This is great. I'm glad he brought out and had a discussion with you about, you know, in the hurry up wanting to that you helped to say, well, you got to get people on site in however many divide the state up in three pieces or whatever, but there have to be people on site. And I didn't hear the notary public, and I think
that's
the important thing to do so that everything is, you know, it's
yeah,
so
I'm
easy
glad,
to do
I'm
it
glad
the first
you brought
time.
That up. You're absolutely right. Yeah, notary public or a justice of the peace, some states still have them, and those people can come out and do it. But someone who can witness the signature, absolutely.
Because once you get that done, yes, and it's solid. Everything's golden. So I just, that's all. That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller is 530 number.
Hey, John. It's Marsh from El Dorado County in California.
Hey, how you doing, Marsh?
Hey, great. I just wanted to do a quick overview for my friends in California that went into a lot of counties at once, et cetera. And I just wanted to make a comment. We're talking about these press releases, and we need to connect the dots because for every press release county that there is, a copy of that press release goes in with the ultimate paperwork that you will be filing for that specific county. So there's a reason for the paperwork. It's like giving that county, that county recorder a receipt for the gas and oil that you paid for, you know, the tires. Yeah, we honestly did give this county lots of notice, and we met, and everything was wonderful, and da-da-da. Here's a copy of the press release that we sent everybody in advance. Isn't that wonderful, county recorder, is what we're really saying. So there's a specific reason other than just giving a notice ahead of time, because ultimately that little piece of paper that we don't think too much of goes in that important, set of filing papers. So I wanted to mention that. I think we need to connect the dots on that so that people understand that press release has more than just one use, and I hope that helps people out there. Another really small thing, but it might be important to anybody that gets a notary public that splits hairs like mine did. I might be the only county in in California so far that's actually filed in the courts, you know, and we've gone that far. And my notary took a look at New York's blurb, you know, because they're all very similar. And she split the hairs and she says, oh, the language isn't, oh, no, I could never sign this. I'd lose my license, buddy, buddy, bah. And I said, okay, what would you like to say? You know, same number of words, same everything. And so she changed it. So I just want to say to everybody, if you want to prepare your notary stuff, you know, your three affidavits that go with your pack, you know, ahead of time for your meeting, I'll be glad to just forward a blank affidavit to any of you. I've highlighted, like John did, you know, for you to put your county in there, and you'll have a California notary ready paper that your California notary will feel very comfortable with, and I'll be very happy to send those out if you ask me. So that's that part. Okay?
Okay, appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay, and then the other part I wanted to ask you is, you know, I just, we're all trying to work together here for the same end, and sometimes it's really hard to draw a line between who's being, you know, not a good guy and who's being a bad guy and an in-between guy. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I received, you know, an email from Gerard, and I so understand everything about when Eric Williams was talking about, you know, our standing and all this jazz. And I just was kind of questioning where Gerard said in his email that, you know, by establishing standing, it gives us too much credibility. It gives too much credibility to the corporate fiction and exposes us to being labeled a sovereign terrorist because, you know, they're calling Tea Party people terrorists.
Well, I think what he was saying or trying to say was to establish it with the language that some people want us to establish it with. That's the key. I mean, there are certain things. We also do not want to give the credibility to the fiction. The fiction is a fraud from the beginning to the end. And so a fraud is a fraud is a fraud is a fraud. It's a fraud from the beginning. It's a fraud during the time, whole time period, and it's a fraud at the end. So one of the things we don't do is we don't give credibility to them, but we are careful to make sure that they understand that there is a difference between us and what they're doing, that we're operating in a court of law, they're operating in a court of equity, there is a huge difference, and what they're doing is fraud.
Right.
And we make those points clear. I don't know that we can get any clearer than what we do with all of the footnotes, all of the Supreme Court rulings, even the codes and the constitutions. I mean, we are clear. I really believe we're clear on every line by line.
I do agree with you, John, because it's very, very clear. I do think so. I just felt I was just wondering why referring to ourselves as sovereign citizens could ever possibly be, you know, looked
right.
at.
Right. Well, we are careful. We are careful with using that phrase.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We are careful with using that phrase because of what they've done with it. But we do use the word sovereign, and we don't use the word citizen because of the 14th Amendment, particularly in what they've done. And in my opinion, you know, some people were talking about the amendments to the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, the first 10, but the ones after that, starting from the 11th, and the problems with that. In my opinion, I don't know that any of them were legal from the 11th on. We definitely could continue and live without any of them and be brought back to the original place where our founders brought us. And I think at some point when we're a little more educated as a people across the nation and we're in control of our courts and therefore in control of our out-of-control politicians, that we seriously should consider coming together in a constitutional convention for the sole purpose of dumping everything after the 10th. Because we need to get our senators back under the control of the legislators of each state. We need to get rid of all this silliness stuff that they have and the silly language they put in the 14th Amendment for the purpose of trying to make us slaves and twisting that by adding acts later on. And none of it is legal. None of it deserves any credibility when you go into the court. And they have to be dealt with as being criminals. And you know what? The moment that that judge continues in that process after he's been warned, as far as I'm concerned, he's a criminal. And he doesn't get he's in dishonor, and he doesn't get the respect. Not that I would give them him disrespect in the courtroom, but believe me, I would not go beyond to give him any specific or special respect. If you have a judge, which shouldn't be called a judge, they're a magistrate, and they're really honorable and doing their job, then they might be able to be called, you know, Your Honor, or to be called even a justice. A justice is one that brings justice.
Yeah, all they do is administrate justice, and there's nothing honorable about any of them. But I just I felt bad because I got a call from somebody today that said, Eric Williams, who's over 80 years old and lived a lot of life, I guess he's no longer on our site. And so I was just sorry to hear that he alienated himself, apparently.
Right.
And
We did not remove him or anything like that. So, yeah, he left on his own. If he did leave, he left.
Well, praise God. That lets me know the whole scoop and makes me I have something to tell my constituent. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we weren't trying to disrespect him, but you know when
right.
when you put a whole bunch of thought and stuff into an idea, it's mm-hmm. hard to let it go. Look at who knew that when you stand in front of the judge and you go, "I understand," it means you stand under their authority. We have to be careful.
That's a really great example.
I tried to tell Mr. Williams that, look, at you know, I have a personal declaration that I early on put registered at the county clerk that claims my sovereignty, that I am a person on the land and all that stuff, which I even use language in it that I wouldn't use today because I was really into it, you know, because you figure
right.
when you finally figure this out, you really. But what I realize is number, if people want to declare that themselves personally, look at, let them prove the negative. I don't have to prove that I am or I'm not. Look at, they're assuming I'm something, right?
Exactly.
So look at, let them tell me that I'm not sovereign. And let them tell me because I have a voter registration or a driver's license, I'm not sovereign. They will not do it. I know they won't do it. And I will not get up there and proclaim that I am a sovereign citizen. Well, first of all, sovereign citizen, as far as I'm concerned, in today's vernacular, in the way they use it, is an oxymoron. Because you can't
right,
be sovereign
right.
and a citizen at the same time. And, yeah. and sovereign nation is another bad thing, you know what I mean? They pick these little key words to try to, because don't forget now, we're at the stage where they're going to try to discredit us. You know,
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
That's where we are, you know, and then eventually they'll openly attack us. And then before it's all over, they'll be claiming the fame for letting us through.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your comments. I really do, because we are standing on the hourglass of the Black Widow.
Yeah.
We're right on it. We got our foots right on it. So
listen, we got a lot of people that tell us what to do, and a lot of people that have been researching for many, many years, and we kind of glean and mine from everybody, and we try to look for the nuggets, the diamonds.
Right. Right.
Together. And so I never burn a bridge, and I listen to everybody because, you know, look at Mr. Williams. He has a lot of good stuff, and he's there. It's just that, you know,
right.
you don't want to give them too much credibility. You know, it's like a lot of what they do to us is psychological warfare. It's psyops, you know.
Sure.
And so you just have to turn the light on, and it all goes away. And you can't get all hung up on something that they've trained us that to think that we need to do this magic thing, and that's going to fix everything. Because look, if it was that easy, it would have been done already.
A long time ago, right. But I had to just prove to myself what I already knew about the two of you, and that's that no way would you just throw somebody under the bus because you disagreed with something they said. It's not the way you do business.
And we also don't look to silence people. You know, again, you know, the idea or the thought that maybe closing down the text communication through the email on the meetup group that we have, the National Liberty Alliance meetup group, where people talk on the email from time to time, and then we get people starting trouble there. We don't want to close that down. And, you know, so, you know what, it's good to have some negative things being thrown at us from time
sure.
to time. And I think it it sharpens us up, too.
It does. It does. And it helps, helps us with the understanding of one another, which is so cool. So that's it, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and we'll talk next week.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Okay, next caller. We still have a few callers left. It's getting late, but we still have a few. 570. Go right ahead.
452. Hello, John. How are you this evening?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good. Yeah, I had a couple questions here. I just recently had cause to speak with some law enforcement, and I did bring up things like National Liberty Alliance. Now, in talking and listening to you talk earlier, do you think that's prudent or not? I mean, one of them being the sheriff of the county,
mm-hmm.
and which leads to another statement I was going to make. In dealing with this,
we sent out emails, by the way, to sheriffs. We've sent out to every sheriff in the nation, and you could read those emails. And as a matter of fact, we'll be sending one out soon. We haven't sent one in a while, but we will be
Fantastic.
Sending out one soon. And if you go to the news tab and you highlight the news tab and you click
mm-hmm.
on memos to the sheriff, you'll see that we have given let me see how many we've sent out so far. We haven't sent out that many, but they were in-depth. There's 1, 2, 3. We've sent out 5 memos already. So, and you can read them. And for a sheriff that hasn't been paying attention, we do make note at the bottom of the memo. If they missed our other memos, they can come up to the site and read them right here. So, but we're trying to educate them, trying to let them know who we are, what we're doing. We're working in the courts, and we're going to be sending some stuff to them soon again.
Nice. Well, I wanted to make a few statements. Number one, somebody just made a reference to
sure.
the diamond
yeah.
thing, and it was a great analogy because I wanted to express in my recent vacation this week. My son and I went to Arkansas and dug for gems, and we find teeny tiny little diamonds, and they're a memory that'll last beyond the cost of any, you know, big diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And I also wanted to bring up the fact that in speaking to these law enforcement people, it is unbelievable how little they really know about the law, how they just follow
yeah.
what they're told.
Right, and we're going to make them aware of that soon because, you see, look, it, when we get into the power and the authority, the people, that is,
right.
we, the people,
right.
when we get to that place and we go and finally talk to the sheriff, we're going to have to ask him some questions that's really going to make them start thinking. And one of them is you know, what do they know about the Second Amendment and why do they keep, why are they participating with this permit process? What do they know about the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment? And tell us a little bit about this
and
that.
I've already assessed that with Ray Local.
They don't know anything. And then we're going to have to ask them the hardcore question. Were you lying when you lifted up your hand and you swore to protect and uphold the Constitution of the United States of America? Because apparently if you don't know it, how can you support it? Now, it's not their fault because the society we're in, we're all dumbed down. We're as dumb as they are, so, and we're just figuring this out ourselves. And now it's time they got to go through their time. And as long as they're willing to learn, they can stay as sheriffs. But if they're not willing to learn, they're going to have to give in their badge. They're going to have to leave
That's
office.
That's correct. We're going to require,
I know here in Dutchess County, we're going to require them to take the course that we put up. And I'm going to suggest that everybody in their county is going to want to suggest that all of their people that run, we're doing the committee man thing too, by the way, and I don't know how many other people are doing that, but we're doing that in New York, and we're going to take control of that process too because the whole thing is a facade, and it's run by a few people. But once we get into power and authority there, you know, we're going to require anybody who thinks that the committee men in New York are going to walk their papers, they better take this course first. And if they don't take this course, we're not going to walk their papers. And they've got time to take the course between the time that we're going to have to walk their papers and the time that they've come to ask us. Hey, now when they come to us and they say that they've taken that course and they understand what the Constitution is, and they understand what common law is, and they understand what their job is and their duty, and they're willing to do it the right way, now we walk their papers. But they could put up their own signs because we're not going to put their signs up.
Right, right. Very good. I wanted to share one more circumstance. We talked about, as you talked about, going to court. Well, I recently was in court It was to, over jurisdiction of my child support arrangements with domestic relations. And I did assert jurisdiction as soon as I went in. Before I would cross over the line, I asked the judge to start it up, and he got the stenographer going. And I told him, I said, I don't live on a ship. I don't want to hear your courts of admiralty. I'm not here for that. Courts of equity. I was like, you know, how am I supposed to understand that? But I do understand a court of record. So if we want to do this, let's do this. And then I said, do you recognize the Article 6 of the Constitution and the Affirmation Clause and the Supremacy Clause? And hesitantly, he agreed. And I'll tell you what, I about jumped over the rail to get in my seat up front. And it turned out quite well because he denied jurisdiction, which tied everybody up on it. Mm-hmm. So I do believe it works. I mean, maybe that's a small victory, but the more people know it can be done, the more effective it becomes, because you know, the more people that understand their power, the bigger that power gets for the people. So I wanted to share a little bit of that with everybody, and don't be afraid of them. They work for you. Just make sure you know where you stand when you approach them. You know, I asked them straight up, what do you want to do there? I've Mickey, you know, Nikki from Pennsylvania and Gloria, they've taught me a lot. And the judge didn't know what to do, so he just denied jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll keep doing that. I'll go through another 63 counties here out of 67. I already got four of them down under.
Okay. So. All right, yeah, and it really isn't that hard. The best way to test this stuff at this point is with traffic tickets, because the worst-case scenario is you lose and you pay the darn ticket, you know? But you get an experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't be afraid to lose once or twice. I've done it four times dealing with family courts, and now I'm the more I learn, the tougher I get. You know, I've got to go back in on the second for, you know, because when I went on vacation, she got an emergency custody order. It wasn't properly served, so I went to Texas anyway.
Right. I hate to push you along, but we got like about 8 minutes left, and we still have...
Very good. Hey, have a great night, and get to your other callers. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
You bet.
All right. Next caller, let's see, 623.
Hey, this is Bill from... Maricopa County in Arizona.
How you doing, and, Phil?
I'm sorry?
Did you say Phil or did you say Bill?
Bill. Bill Davis.
Okay, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Just a quick question. Something was said about, I don't know, two or three months ago about some little something that you knew that gave you, I don't know how it was phrased, but you knew it was going to help our cause and that our cause was going to succeed. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, not really.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not sure. You know, we have learned a lot of things that a lot of other people that have tried this have not learned, have not done, they haven't done the research. And we had certain, you know, first of all, We were in a unique situation when we started this stuff, because we had already learned in the courts. We already went through learning the process without common law, then turning it into the common law, and trying to work through the process of using a lot of strange language, you know, a son of God and all. We didn't use that kind of language, but very close to it, you know, of the soil and that kind of thing. And then we went beyond that, and of course we found Thornton. And meanwhile, we were researching, we studied the history of the grand jury, of the jury, the period, and then, of course, all these constitutional courses that we've already been through. And, you know, so we were in a kind of unique way, and we had already learned the procedures and processes of the court and how things worked. And so when you put it all together, we're in a unique position to be able to really run with this grand jury thing. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
Did I mention that it was something that you said that you weren't at liberty to disclose?
There were things way back when we were going through the process, we didn't want to tell people what our next step was going to be. Now we're beyond that. We've told everybody what our next step is going to be. And just to kind of, you know, open that up a little more, we did talk about that last week and the week before, I think, too. We're going to be going through all of the federal judges here in New York. We're going to the chief judge next. As soon as we can get this paper out, this true bill, which is an indictment on this federal judge, then we're going to the chief judge. We're going to give him, 4 days to respond. And then we're going to hit all 153 or 151 judges that are left in New York, the federal judges, see if they'll respond. We're going to do them collectively all at one time with a letter and lead them to the court case. We'll share something with them and lead them directly to the court case. And if they don't respond in so many days, then we're going to start a campaign across the entire nation, try to get all the state coordinators to work on this. We'll write up the letter. And we need to go to every single judge. We'll need people to send this out to every federal judge in their state. But we'll work up the letter and exactly what needs to be done. And so we will notify every single federal judge in the United States. And that primes the whole system. And if none of them respond, that would be a pretty sad state for America. But if none of them responds, then we go to the United States Supreme Court. Now, going to the United States Supreme Court, it's not a matter of them, are they going to hear our case or are they not going to hear our case. That's not a matter of that at all. We're not asking them to hear anything. We're their boss. We're coming to tell them what they need to do. We're going to give them a writ of mandamus from the highest court of the land, we the people, the unified common law grand jury out of every state with whatever seals we have at that time. It'd be great to have all 50, but if we have 40 or 35, that's good enough too. But 50 would be fantastic. But that's probably going to be about 30 days down the road. If we got to get to that point, then that's where we're going. And we're going to send our first letter to Scalia, and we're going to tell him, we're going to write a writ of mandamus to him, and we're not asking him to sign the paper. We're telling him to obey the contract and to enforce it, and sign this mandamus to every court, which is a mandamus from him, the highest court of the land, the judge, Judge Scalia, and to command every judge in the United States to obey the laws that we had written down. And anybody who wants to know what that is, you can go up online and read it, because it's the mandamus we gave to the state judge. It's the mandamus we gave to the federal judge. It's the mandamus we're going to give to Scalia or anyone else up there. But that's where we're going to go with this, and I can't picture Scalia denying, ignoring, or any of that. First of all, our whole thing is built around his case, that he his decision he that with the other five other judges, 6-3 decision, and he was the guy who wrote the paper on it. Our whole system is built around what he had said, what he had put out there. So that's the big point. That's where we're heading if we got to get there. I certainly hope we're going to get through that without having to leave New York. I'm certainly hoping that we're going to get what we need right here. But we'll do what we got to do.
Can one Supreme Court justice issue a mandamus, or does it have to be the court?
Just takes one Supreme Court justice. Not a Supreme Court justice. What they are, they're federal courts. They are the United States, what is it called? The United States Federal District Court, which is subservient to the United States Supreme Court, and they can only be corrected by, they can be corrected by us too, but usually they will be corrected by their boss, which is the nine judges on the United States Supreme Court up there in Washington. And so all it takes is one federal judge in any state to put the order out, period, because it's a federal system. It's a federal situation. The law is not different from one district to another. The law is the law of the land across the land. And by reading the mandamus that we're looking for these judges to sign, when you really look at that and read this, why won't they sign it? It's everything that's in the Constitution. It's everything that's in the requirements of the code and the Supreme Court rulings. It's nothing that's foreign to them.
The reason I was asking, because you were talking about the step at which you get to the Supreme Court, so that's the reason why I was asking, because the Supreme Court has, nine justices, and I was wanting to know if Scalia, and could one justice issue a mandamus, or does it have to be the
Oh, no, no. It, this is again, you got to understand where we're coming from. We're not asking for a Supreme Court decision. We're not asking them for anything. We're ordering them through what's called the writ of mandamus. The writ of mandamus is this. We command you. That's what a writ of mandamus is. So that's what we're sending to Scalia if we have to get to that point. If we have to go to the United States Supreme Court, and that's about 30 days out, by the way. And whatever states we have at that time is what we have. We're going with it. We don't have a choice.
But we will
completely exhaust every judge in the nation before we get there on the federal level.
That's why
I don't think we'll have to get to the United States Supreme Court. I think we will find a judge someplace, and it could be in New York, but it may be in, who knows, California or Texas or Pennsylvania or Rhode Island. Who knows where it's going to be.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next caller, wireless caller, 760.
Hey, John, Dave in California, state coordinator.
How you doing, Dave? Good to talk to you.
I've come upon
We're going to have to push you along a little quick because we're running out of time. And we have two more callers, but go ahead.
Okay, the research seems to indicate that in California, the courts recognize declarations under penalty of perjury in lieu of affidavits. Have you heard anything about that as far as being able to use declarations for our purposes in California instead of affidavits?
Anything that's legal is done under affidavit, which means it's a sworn statement. If there is no sworn statement, look, they love to do that because they don't want to make a sworn statement. And here in New York, for instance, they play this game. The police officer will fill out his paper, and he'll sign a paper on the penalty of perjury, I swear, so on and so forth, and then he puts his name. Well, that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't mean anything. It's got to be a sworn statement under affidavit. And now the guy could go to jail if it's a lie. You see, until then, they really can't hold him. He wasn't sworn in. You see, and if you go into a court and you go to stand and you put your hand on the Bible, yeah, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay, now you've just been sworn in. That's as good as an affidavit. You better not lie there either because you're going to be held accountable. It's perjury. So both are perjury. That's why when you get a lawyer that does an affirmation for their client, it doesn't mean anything. No court has subject matter jurisdiction if there isn't a sworn affidavit from the other side, and they never have it. And that's their own rules.
Okay, so if we're doing, let's say there's three of us that are doing like 10 counties, so there'd be three signatures and three notaries, so for like a $10 notary.
What we do is on the declaration, there's three signatures witnessing as part of the process, and that is not a sworn affidavit, but it is an honorable paper of declaration, okay? But the three affidavits we do swore that whole process took place. That's under oath, okay? That gives it the power. Now, once we're in there with that process, and again, we're doing this because it's the honorable thing to do. We don't have to do this. It's just honorable. And when we do this, it really puts them into a tumble, so to speak, because they're like, you know, they don't even know what to say about that, okay? So we put it in the newspaper. We went through all these honorable things, and we put it out to the people. The people came, and we made the decision, and we've gone forward, and we are the people. So that is what it is. But now, you see, once you're under seal, that's as good as a notary. That's better than a notary because, you see, you have a place of honor. And when you have a seal and you signed under seal, sealed and delivered, under seal, okay, that's as good as a court. It's higher than the court because we're the people, we're the court of record. And that's honorable. And unless we prove ourselves dishonorable, it's an absolute fact. And it's an absolute truth. And we do our bills with that seal on it. That's a sworn statement that this is our conclusion of the matter, and this is it. It goes to court. We've indicted, or we didn't indict, whatever the case may be.
Okay, if we have a state seal, do we still need a notary?
For what we're doing, the paperwork that we do, yes, we do.
Okay.
But once we When we send our paperwork in, for instance, we put a seal on it. Now, we don't do a return slip or anything. We're honorable. We're under seal, period. They got it. If they didn't get it, doesn't matter. You got it because we know we put it out, and we're honorable. Doesn't matter. They got it. When a court sends you a paper, they don't send you a paper certified and return slip or anything. They know they sent it to you. They're honorable. They're supposed to be honorable anyway.
Okay, I'm out. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Neptune 49. One more caller after. Neptune 49. Neptune 49 going once. You've been unmuted. There's only two people left. You and one other person. Neptune 49, last call. All right, we'll go to our next caller. If you want to get back into the queue, just hit the button. Last caller, it looks like Ronald, 714.
Yes. Ron's fine. And
how you doing, Ron?
I'm fine, thanks. Just since you brought it up, I looked at the other news memos to the sheriff, and I noticed the numbering scheme of the five letters still is in error. It's 01, 02, 03, 03, 04. And I was going to say, since you were going to correct those other things on the website, which I've noticed you've already done, but I just thought I'd bring that up.
But there is a problem with the memos, you're saying?
The numbering scheme on the memos page, the memos to the sheriff page, where it has
okay.
the you can go to it under news, memos to sheriff.
Right.
And then you see the memos, what I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, I got two threes. Okay, yeah, I'll fix that.
Right.
Is three and four the same?
I thought last week when we were discussing this, somebody brought it up, and I thought that it was supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 0, 1 through 5. I don't know. I did not check that. So,
okay. Yeah, I will check it. I'll try to check that tomorrow. I won't do it tonight. It's too late. I want to go to sleep. So.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I will make a note of that and check the memos to sheriff. Got it.
And one last quick point, I didn't say earlier, but I thought you were bringing up the Sotheby, what is it here? You know, with the letters, you actually call it the true bill, the Sotheby, and you were discussing the two terms that are in the end. I did read that, and I'm really open-minded, and the term Marxist and Nazis, I mean, I think that's an accurate statement, but you know what? It's really emotionally backed, and I think the fascist thing is a better way. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I think so too. We have to. We haven't sent the paper out, so I really think we're going to change that just to soften it up for the reader. They're both truthful.
Yes.
One is harsher than the other. We did expect to be a little harsh on the one hand, but we'll back off a little bit and put fascist.
Yes.
That's pretty hardcore anyway, I'll tell you.
It is, it is. But you know what? Nappy is so charged because of all the things. And the unfortunate thing that I want to try to belay is the way the mainstream media attacks people and stuff. And if they can use those terms, it's so emotionally charged. People don't listen or pay attention to what it is. They react
right.
to the emotional charge. And it can paint National Liberty Alliance and what's being done to the common law.
Right, that's
be a
all
way
we'll
that,
stick on and talk about. You're right.
Exactly. So I thought it would be that the option is a better way to avoid that kind of pit, you know, and even though it's true, even though it seems like a paradox, too, because it's sort of at opposite ends, but they're really not. They're all collectivism, and it's
that's
bad
right,
news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's
I just...
Right.
That's the 2 cents. And
they're the exact same thing. You know, it's just two different ways of getting to the same place.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
I've got Neptune back. Are we done, Ron?
Yes, done.
Okay, thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. Okay, Neptune's back. Last caller, Neptune 49. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me now, John?
I can hear you now, a little broken up, but I think I got you.
Oh, fantastic. Just an FYI, I was doing some figuring on our status as far as constituted counties. We've got over 1,000 counties constituted by current count, And we also are 38% of all the states constituted.
Right, right. I'm going to go back and check to make sure that all of the switches are flipped in order to get the county count correct. And I may try to do that tonight.
Okay, I just thought that everybody should be happy to hear those numbers.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. So we got over or about a third of the counties now, right?
38% of the counties.
How many?
One-third of the counties, 38% of the states.
Right, one-third of the counties and about 38, I think you said, percent of the states.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great news. And one more state is going to pop it up to the 40% there. So.
Yes, it is. And we're looking good.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
That's all I really had.
Great, because we've come to the end and I'm tired. Matter of fact, we were like 10, 11 minutes late, so we went 10, 11 minutes over, so it's a three-hour program, which is pretty much what we try to keep about. Okay, I guess that does it. And appreciate everyone that called and everyone that's listening in, and Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. And let's keep up the good work. Let's get these counties and states constituted. And those who need to get their seals in, get the seals. And for the state county, the state coordinators, let's get this campaign going with postcards. I think Sheila said that she was going to start working on pushing that forward. So I guess she'll be making some phone calls. I'll find out. But we got to really be pushing these phone these postcards now. Okay, Lord willing, we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you. Good night.